And welcome back, everyone. It is episode 150 of Thirst and Goal. I am Franny. Across from me is Ben, and we are a show about NFL football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Subscribe, and you'll get everything you need to know about the NFL and become a whiskey and beer expert like us. Subscribe at our website, thirstandgoal.buzzsprout.com, or search us in any pod catcher, Ben.
Yes, I'm going to exactly.
get it. I got it right. I'm going to get it right. But episode 150, Ben.
Three, almost, well, six yeah. weeks short of three full years of weekly episodes. That is pretty shocking stuff right there.
And we started this podcast. It's just over 3 years yeah. now, right? We started at the beginning of November in 2018, and we're still going strong. I love doing this podcast. And I'm sure you do, too.
I look forward to it. I do. And I want to meet the people that have been with us since 2018. If you've been with us since 2018, please shoot us a note on Twitter at Goal Thirst, Instagram at ThirstAnd, or at podcastthirstagoal@gmail.com. Hope everyone is having a wonderful week. Had a wonderful
Thanksgiving
week. We indulged a little bit. Yeah. I indulged a little bit more than Franny did. Probably I had... early morning brush clearing session after 65 mile an hour winds.
We had crazy.
Some tree limbs that came down, some hedges that were pulled right out of the ground.
That's why it's 80 degrees, though.
Yeah. I mean, it was brutal. Talked to my family for about 3 hours after that, then went to Friday's house, had dinner there, then went to my extended family and had another dinner there for a few hours. Friday, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, man. It was not as busy as yours was. You know, obviously we had dinner.
You didn't have a chainsaw out at 9 o'clock in the morning?
I did not. I didn't have a reason to. Thank God. No, but the winds, they start.
You'd have to plant trees in order for the trees to fall down.
But this part of LA, I mean, the winds this time of year really start whipping around, you know, from November to maybe about, you know, February, March. I mean, you know, you can get some really strong winds through here, but that's why it's nice and warm. They're warm winds. But, you know. Sorry they had to do all the extra work, Ben. But it was good seeing you on Thursday.
Of course.
Always a pleasure on Saturday for the podcast. But it was a good Thanksgiving. I hope everybody out there is enjoying their Thanksgiving holiday. I worked Friday. You've been off since Thursday, Ben.
Yep.
That is awesome. Do you have Monday off or are you going back
to
work?
No, I got to go back on Monday.
All right.
And our outdoor studio suffered a...
Calamity
much like the dome down in New Orleans during the hurricane. The roof is off our studio due to the 65 mile an hour winds, so a new roof is en route. We'll have to put up a new roof, but we literally are out here with no roof tonight because of those 65 mile an hour winds. It was quite an event, actually, this week. Those are some of the strongest winds I think I've encountered since living out here. I've never seen it pull hedges directly out of the ground before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was an interesting
pretty crazy gusts.
Day. Yeah. Yeah. It was nuts. Friday, what are you drinking over there?
Tonight, Ben, actually, I am continuing to drink the Michter's bourbon with a little bit of club soda, a little bit of Coke in there as well. And it's actually pretty delicious when you mix everything together. What about you?
I like it. I opened the second bottle of the Copper and Kings, the Moons of Juniper gin. It's a beautiful spiced
Moons of Jupiter.
Jupiter. Yeah, I mean, there's many moons around Juniper, also around Jupiter.
I think one of the moons of Jupiter is Juniper, yeah.
Yes, it might be. There's a lot of moons out there.
Yep.
But this is a beautiful gin from a distillery down in Kentucky that primarily makes bourbon and whiskey. It's actually a really, really nice gin. Not a sponsor, just what we're drinking. And I'll polish this bottle off, and then we'll get into another nice spicy
bottle winter. Of the same thing.
Well, they have two other varieties I want to try. They have two other gins that I want to try. Friday, what are we going to talk about this Thanksgiving week? I know you want to talk about the Cowboys losing in overtime to the Raiders.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
But what are we going to talk about this week?
Tonight, Ben, on the big board of our NFL Week 11 recap, we also have a shout-out to our new and loyal listeners out there. We also have our NFL Week 12 picks, which you crossed out because you didn't change on the printout. But Week 12 picks, a few weeks back, we were talking about the wrong week. well, we mentioned the wrong week, but we were talking about the right week.
Right week. The right game's and, wrong number.
And Ben's betting lines as well. We have Friday's Flame and Ben's bust of the week. We have my shot of the week, Ben, which is in honor of a Steelers loss.
Yeah.
So no spicy shots on the table tonight.
Honor, in punishment for a Steelers
loss.
Oh,
it's an honor. It's an honor to lose to the Chargers.
It's just an honor to be able to play and lose to the Chargers.
If you're going to lose to anybody, you want to lose to Justin Herbert, the guy that you wanted at the helm of the Steelers for the foreseeable future. And you called it.
Yeah.
And you called it before the draft, before he was drafted. Like, I want to give up however so many picks to get this guy so he can be on my team for the next 15 years.
Yeah, instead
and
we
that's
traded
the
up,
reason. This is the reason why.
Instead, we traded up to get Devin Bush, who has been a complete bust. It would have taken more picks to get up to Herbert, don't get me wrong.
Oh, many
more picks. But I love this kid. I mean, obviously, the Steelers' defense was depleted. Nice 75-yard touchdown.
Miami didn't have to give up anything.
Yeah.
And they still took Tua.
And next year, they'll pick another one, and another one, and another one. The Jets should just have an exchange program for quarterbacks with the Dolphins.
Yeah, they should.
Like Jets, Dolphins, Broncos. They should just have like a rotating exchange program. Like, well, if this person doesn't work out here,
maybe
next
over here.
Stop, go over here.
Maybe
next
we'll have
stop,
the right coach
here.
In place to train this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not.
Sorry, I interrupted your rundown.
Yeah. So anyways, we have a beautiful shot on the table. Not only is it an honor / punishment of the Steelers' loss to Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers, but also, it's a pumpkin pie spice shot, man.
Of course.
It's Thanksgiving weekend, so I figured this would also be appropriate. It's a good thing the Steelers lost, actually, because otherwise we'd have a spicy shot.
It would have been a flaming hot pumpkin shot.
Yeah. Actually, that probably wouldn't be so bad. I might do that in the future.
151 and pumpkin
next
rum.
Next week for episode 151, Ben. And we also have our beverage of the week, which is a cognac, Ben. I know how much you love cognacs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's enough with the grapes already. You can only make so many things out of grapes.
But it's a beautiful looking squared off bottle. It is from Brastad.
Brastad. That's how they pronounce it in France, I'm sure.
That's how they Brastad. Cognac VSOP.
Oi.
No, but the bottle looks terrific. And I can't wait to try that. I love the cognacs, Ben.
I know you don't
enjoy them, but I love the cognacs.
I don't not enjoy them.
I enjoy them, actually. Every single one of them I've enjoyed so far.
I enjoy them, just not as much as you do.
And we also have our beer of the week, something a little bit different. We've been trying, lagers and pilsners and IPAs. We haven't had a sour in quite some time.
Yep.
So we have the 10 Barrel Brewing Company Crush Cucumber Sour. Cannot wait to try that either. And we also have our housekeeping to finish up the show.
All right, Freddie, what's first up on the big board?
First up, Ben, NFL Week 11.
Can Crossed you out 10. Believe it?
Week 11 recap.
I got to get, what is that? The Microsoft Word. They need to figure out a way to update the numbers automatically. We had the Thursday, the Patriots-Falcons game.
We talked about that
a couple weeks ago. Talked about that one. But Sunday, the Ravens.
Close
at
game,
the
man.
Bears and the Ravens.
Sorry
without,
about this one. This looks like a punishment shot early.
Yeah, without Lamar Jackson. Oh, poor Tyler Huntley gets a text message the night before saying, you're the next man up. You're going in tomorrow. No time to prepare. His performance, I think, is indicative of a person that had no time to prepare. 26 of 36 for 219.
Think so.
Zero touchdowns and one interception.
He actually did a good job.
But luckily, he actually did do a good job. Luckily, they were playing the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields goes down, multiple broken ribs. The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, comes in 11 for 23, 201 yards to count him, two touchdowns in the game. But somehow the hapless Bears managed to lose this game to the Baltimore Ravens, going to 7-3. The Bears going to 3-7, but the Ravens somehow lost a game that they should have lost. They would be sitting at 6-4, and the Steelers would be one step closer to the Ravens. But the fucking Bears are this bad. Mm-hmm. That they were able to lose to the Ravens.
Yeah, I think it's about time Matt Nagy needs. I mean, they should have.
I mean, they should have won
Nagy
this game.
I mean, they should have won this game. I mean, they should have won multiple games. But I mean, Matt Nagy really needs to go. You know, I mean, Andy Dalton is a capable quarterback where you should win against Huntley. I mean, you know, Huntley's not that bad. Actually, Huntley played well in this game, but there was pretty much no offense to speak of on both sides
Freeman
of the ball.
Freeman with 49
until
yards.
Until pretty much the fourth
Huntley
quarter
with 40 yards.
In this one. And, you know, I obviously there's not a lot of weapons on the Chicago team, but it's not like the Ravens are loaded with weapons on offense either. And you have a backup quarterback.
Yeah, one touchdown and three field goals.
Yeah, you should win this game. You should win this game. And if Matt Nagy can't accomplish that in this game, then he shouldn't be coaching.
Yeah,
and
luckily they play Detroit in the following week, but you can't play Detroit every week. Yeah. You know
Remember that Steelers?
If you're the Steelers,
game.
Yeah. At least we didn't lose.
Yeah.
At least we didn't lose. But we had our backup quarterback who's actually worse than Tyler Huntley, unfortunately. But what say you about the Ravens getting this win, staying on top in the AFC North, the Steelers falling to the Chargers?
What say me? What say you, Ben?
I'm not happy.
It's your division.
These are the games. I mean, the Steelers had to win that game against Detroit. That was a winnable game. Late in the fourth quarter, they could have won that game. They could have beat the Chargers.
No matter who the quarterback is, you should be able to win that game too. But
Minka Fitzpatrick's in the game against the Chargers. They don't score that late touchdown, probably. But because the defense was so banged up, you know, Justin Herbert was able to throw that ball over the top, score a touchdown, end the game.
Quickly.
And give us, you know, whatever, 4th and 29 following that. You know, I'm not happy about it. I mean, the Steelers really had an opportunity against, you know, with that nice week stretch that they had there against the, you know, the Lions. And I can't remember who they played the week before that, but they had a nice couple of games where they actually had an opportunity to get into first place in that division. Coming up to a more difficult stretch. We got the Bengals tomorrow at full strength. You know, fuck the Ravens.
Oh, there's the punishment shot. That's a really early punishment shot, Ben.
Yeah, earlier the better.
Like,
earlier
like
the better.
8 minutes in or something?
Nine minutes in, I think.
All right, perfect. That's actually, it's better that we talk shit early, get the shots out of the way, and then mumble and stumble through the rest
of the
podcast.
Yeah, but it's just very frustrating. As a Steelers fan, it's just very frustrating. We had an easy stretch of games. Baltimore loses a game. But Baltimore has really had some good luck a lot of this season. They've had some good luck in a lot of these games late, in games that they should have lost.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they were able to eke out a win, not necessarily because of their own competence, but because of the incompetence of their opponent. And that's happened a couple times this season. They probably should have 5 losses, but they only have 3 losses because of games like this where the Bears just can't get out of their own way. They can't hold it down on defense. 16 points, you should lose every game that you play, unless you're the Buffalo Bills losing 9-6. You should lose every game in which you score 16 points.
There you are.
This isn't the Warren Sapp led Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning games against Baltimore 6-3.
Cheers to you, Ben. This is our punishment shot. And the reason we're doing the shot is because we signed a contract in blood many years ago. If I say anything negative about a team in my division, which is the NFC East, then I take a shot. If you say anything negative about a team in your division, Ben, which is the AFC
North,
then you take a shot. You said, fuck the Ravens. And if Sonia, who has not been on the podcast for quite some time, if she says anything negative about a team in her division, which is the NFC West, then she takes a shot. But, you know, she's probably never, ever going to take a shot because she's probably never going to join us again on the show. But
especially
she used
when
to be.
Especially when Russell Wilson gets traded in the offseason.
The female voice.
That'll be the
of
end
the
of
the podcast.
This.
But Ben, tonight we are drinking once again.
Oh, the peach.
Yeah, it is the American-born peach whiskey. And it seems to get worse and worse every
week. The colder
week.
It gets, the worse it gets.
It's true, right? It tasted better while it was a little bit warmer on the table when it was the warmer months. But now
this
it's a little
chilly
outside.
This is pretty rough when it gets cold.
For some reason. I mean, usually, like, alcohol is better when it's chilled, but this is worse.
This is worse. Yeah. This one needs to be about 85 degrees.
Yeah. Cheers, Ben.
Let's do it.
I take a small shot. You take the big shot.
Ah,
it's rude if I don't join you and take a shot. So, you know, that's why I'm taking a shot.
That is bad.
But, yeah, Ravens win. Nagy needs to go.
All right, from bad news to good news.
Kirk motherfucking Cousins.
The next game up, Kirk motherfucking Cousins. The Vikings 34, Packers 31. Packers fall to 8-3. Minnesota Vikings go to 5-5 back in the playoff hunt. But Aaron and his bum toe that's going to nag him for weeks and weeks. 23 of 33 for 385.
He showed the cameras. He showed the cameras the bum toe.
Yeah.
He actually's like, look, it's broken.
Yeah.
It's
fractured. It's definitely fucked up.
It's fractured.
And it's going to hurt probably for a long time. But again, 385 yards, 4 touchdowns, another stud day for Aaron Rodgers. But on the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins, and late in the game, Kirk Cousins, 24 for 35, 341 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the game. But that beautiful drive, late, the Vikings go ahead, and they don't give it up. Well, actually, they were tied at the end of the game, and the Vikings didn't shit the bed. They were able to drive down the field, get the game-winning field goal, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Frane, what say you?
I was shocked. I mean, because usually when a game is this close, Aaron Rodgers
Rodgers drives down the field and puts it out of reach.
One or the other. But, I mean, the Vikings played it smart at the end of the game. They didn't give Aaron Rodgers any time on the clock. They kicked the field goal. They win it.
Yeah, could you believe they actually managed the clock well at the end of the game?
I know. I was surprised. And that's what won it for them. But also the poise of Kirk motherfucking Cousins. You don't expect that from this guy.
Poise?
The poise.
That might be a stretch.
Well, in this game.
Composure?
He was poised.
He was.
He was composed and poised.
I would say he was.
He was composed.
He was adequate. He was.
He did what he needed to do, Ben, and they won the game. And actually, I was rooting for the Packers in this one.
You don't
not
say.
Because it's Aaron Rodgers, but because the Eagles have a pretty similar record to the Vikings, and they're both fighting for that last playoff spot. So a 5-5 Vikings team, the Eagles are right there at 5-6. But I was hoping
the Vikings will fold up.
Yeah, you never know. Not in this game.
Not in this game. And I was impressed. I mean, you don't see the Vikings hold on to the last second
with
confidence the way that they did in this
game. If it was a primetime game, maybe.
Yeah.
But since it wasn't a primetime game, they won.
But Dalvin Cook with 86 yards on 22 carries and a touchdown. But Justin Jefferson balled out like crazy in this game.
That's a guy the Eagles could have had too, but instead we take Rager.
Jalen Rager.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, actually, Justin Jefferson was on the board when you took Rager, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Justin Jefferson, 8.
Doesn't matter anymore.
8 catches for 169 yards and 2, count them, 2 touchdowns. Adam Thielen, of course, with a touchdown in the game. But, you know, we got to give the Packers the credit for where the Packers get credit, where credit is due. On the other side of the ball, A.J. Dillon with 53 yards on the ground. Just as good, if you ask me. Jones, what's his first name? I always forget his first name. Aaron Jones. But Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a name that's too long for the NFL. 4 catches and 123 yards and 1 touchdown. But Davante Adams can't hold this guy down. 2 touchdowns on 115 yards. But what do you think about the Packers and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers' injury? He hasn't practiced. He's going to play tomorrow.
Yeah,
but he has not practiced.
He's still going to play well. He's going to play well regardless. I mean, whether he's injured
or not. Oh, my God. Get a room.
Look, in this game, I mean, 4 touchdowns in this game, 385 yards. I mean, that's pretty impressive still. You know, it's going to hobble him probably. I mean, they're going to tape him up. You know, they're going to tape him up and inject him with some shit to kill the pain.
Tape him up and inject him up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
Is he a horse?
Yeah, kind of.
kind of.
But, you know, I think the... You know, the Packers are going to be fine. You know, this is a division game, and, you know, division games are always tough. I mean, the Vikings are not that bad. I mean, they're 5-5 right now.
The Vikings are bad. The Vikings are a very average team.
I mean, they're an average team.
The epitome of an average team.
They're an average team, but they played at home, and they won a close one. And, you know, it's always a tough game, no matter who you play. I mean, I'm still worried about the Eagles and Giants on tomorrow morning.
Oh, stop. But I predicted it when they built that stadium, that brand new stadium, indoors, taking away the one advantage that they had in that beautiful outdoor arena.
It's not an advantage against the Packers, though, because the Packers play outdoors regardless. So,
but yeah, that's true. But it's an advantage in a, you know, with
actually in that division,
many of their opponents that come in, especially teams from the West Coast, from the South, from the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just don't understand why you take away one of the few advantages that you have, home field. You know, that's why the Steelers have that, you know, beautiful open air stadium with one end that's open to the wind where it's difficult to kick field goals. At least you have some home field advantage. Ronnie, next up, the Colts at the Bills. The Colts 41.
Hey, I called it.
The Bills,
you called
15.
Me crazy.
I did call you crazy. The Bills, I mean, they are schizophrenic this year. The Colts go to 6-5. The Bills fall to 6-4. Carson Wentz, 11 for 20, 106 yards and one touchdown in a 41-point effort.
Look at this guy, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, JT.
32
carries, 185 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground. I think he had one in the air as well. 5 touchdowns total for Jonathan Taylor.
This is crazy. And on the other side, Josh Allen, 21 of 35 for 209. Two, count them. 2 touchdowns, but 2 big interceptions. The Bills get trounced again, Frane. What say you?
I mean, like you said, they're pretty schizophrenic. I mean, you don't know who they're going to beat and who they're going to lose to. I mean, they lose to the Jags. I expect them to lose this game, but not this badly. I mean, this is terrible. 41-15. I'm sorry. I'm just receiving a text message from Alex, who was on the show weeks back. It's an Instagram video where it shows like two. I don't know if you saw that with the two Cowboys offensive linemen blocking each other.
No,
like I'll show you the video. It's pretty actually. It's pretty hilarious.
Happen?
That's why I'm like looking at my phone and like laughing a little bit. But yeah, this loss, I expected it, but not this bad. I'm not sure what's going on with the Bills.
I mean, we know they bounce back. We'll talk about the game against New Orleans, but what is going on with the Bills? I mean, they come out of the chute, they lose to the Steelers, but then they go on.
But then they kick
that. They go on a run.
Like this is a score you expect even, in the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 41-15 in the Bills' favor.
Yeah, I mean, in the Colts, you know, similarly have been sort of hot and cold much of the year. I mean, Carson Wentz, I mean, only 106 yards passing, but as you said, Taylor picks up the slack and gets four touchdowns. Four on the ground, and Jonathan Taylor with one touchdown through the air, as Ronnie said. But I don't know what to make of the Bills. I mean, I know they bounced back against the Saints, and we'll talk about that. But the Bills sitting at 6-4, 6-5 after, or 7-4 after the next game, no longer the top seed, no longer in first place in the AFC East. The Bills are back in their normal position behind the Patriots. Is there something going on potentially intellectually, psychologically, now that they're behind the Patriots?
I think so. They're starting to turn into the Bills of old.
Yeah. I mean, it is shocking because this was supposed to be the year. Last year they went deep. They lose in a championship game. This was supposed to be the year that they, you know, make a bigger run, a better run of it, getting past the Chiefs, as the Chiefs are struggling a little bit, and they're just reverting to the mean, which must be very, very disappointing for a lot of the Bills fans in Buffalo, Cheektowaga, yeah. Tonawanda, Lackawanna, and Orchard Park. It's got to be a little bit, and Depew.
You know the geography over there.
Yeah, yeah. I lived there for a few years.
Did, yeah, yeah.
You know, actually, they don't have toll booths anymore. But there'd be protest at the Depew toll booth. Next up Friday, we got an exciting game.
Oh, yeah.
As exciting a game as you'll ever see in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns 13, the Detroit Lions 10.
But they got the win.
The Browns
got the win.
6
they won,
five.
Man.
The Detroit Lions 0-9-1.
Something the Steelers couldn't do.
This looks like some kind of a soccer line, like a soccer record from one of the leagues in Europe, 0-9-1. But look at Tim Boyle. 15 of 23, 77 yards and two touchdowns. Oh, I guess Blow was not available. But Baker Mayfield, 15 of 29, 176, one touchdown. Count it. And two picks
in
the game.
Yeah, very ugly game. This is a game that I didn't pay much attention to.
But
it was just a low-scoring game, and
I
expected the Browns to, you know, just kick ass. And,
they should have.
They should have, but they didn't. But they won.
But the Detroit defense is playing pretty well. I mean, I'd hate to play for the Detroit Lions defense because they actually are playing pretty well. But Nick Chubb cannot be held down. 22 for 130. Jarvis Landry with a touchdown on the ground. And Nick Chubb with a touchdown through the air. Missed extra point. Franny, I mean, the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what we have to deal with here. I mean, we tie the Lions. We get beat at the final, you know, the final drive, essentially, of the game against the Chargers. We're playing well. We played well on offense. The defense obviously pretty banged up. But the teams in our division are getting gifts.
Yep.
They get a gift from the Lions. Baltimore gets a gift from Chicago. You know, is that going to hurt us later in the year?
Is it a gift or a gift?
It's a gift. It's a gift gift. But it's the Steelers aren't getting these games to bounce the way they're bouncing for our division opponents.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I mean, this should have been actually, you know, I expected the Browns to win, but that Baltimore game, I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson isn't in the game,
and Justin Fields gets hurt in the game,
and I mean, Andy Dalton is a serviceable quarterback.
He is.
Yeah, I mean,
and he played pretty well the following week.
Yeah,
I mean, not great.
I mean, at the end of the season, you know, once the playoffs roll around, these games will definitely make a difference. The ones that they should have lost and you should have won better.
Yeah, and that's what scares me. I mean, that's what scares me is that the ball's not bouncing the way we would like it to bounce. Next up, someone else who didn't get the homecoming that they wanted after last week.
He's back, Ben.
The Carolina Panthers fall to the hapless Washington football team 27-21. The Panthers fall to 5-6. The Washington football team up to 4-6. Taylor Heinicke, another good game, 16 of 22 for 206 and three. Count them. Three touchdowns on the other side. Cam Newton, 21 of 27, 189 and two. Count them. two touchdowns, but not, you know, he had a decent game. Again, ran for a touchdown, throws for two touchdowns. But McCaffrey bottled up, only 10 carries for 59 yards, seven catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. DJ Moore with a touchdown. But what do you think about the Washington football team creeping up, but playing pretty well?
They're actually not
creeping up in the division
bad.
A little bit.
No, 4-6 right now. I mean, you know,
but playing well. Heineke's getting better all the time.
The Eagles play them in a few weeks, and I am actually worried about that game. Tomorrow we play the Giants. I expect the Eagles to win that one. But against Washington,
hey.
I'm not sure. I mean, Heineke.
I like Heineke.
Heineke's legit. I mean, let's look what his numbers again. Let's look at his numbers. You know, 16 for 22, 26.
Pretty efficient.
Three touchdowns, though. Very efficient. I mean, the last few games, the guy's actually really lit it up.
Yeah, I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he plays. I like his discipline. I like his guts out there on the football playing surface.
And it seems
but he's really
him.
Intellectually.
I mean, he's been working hard in the offseason for this role. I mean, he wants to be the starter in Washington. I'm not sure what they're going to do in the offseason if they believe in this guy. But I think
believe in Taylor Heineke?
No, but I think, you know, the organization, the Washington football team, I think they're looking at this guy as maybe a potential starter for the future.
I mean, when that defense playing, is back at full strength.
Yeah. I mean, and just the way he goes about his business, like you said. I mean, it's
he's very prepared. He's very, you know, nothing bothers him. Mm-hmm. Nothing phases him.
I mean, a couple of those throws, I think late in this game on fourth down, he rolled out of the pocket and threw a laser to one of his tight ends. I mean, it's like something you don't see from like a rookie quarterback. I mean, I'm not saying he's a rookie, but I mean, it's his second year.
But he was pulled out.
He hasn't played that many games, but I mean, that throw to continue that drive, you know, and that basically, I believe that was the drive
nice
that won them
the right
this
line,
game. You know, I mean, it was very impressive to see in with pressure in his face to do that sort of thing. And Taylor Heineke, he's legit. And I don't like that because I don't like it.
And because there aren't any quarterbacks coming out, and to the extent that there are quarterbacks coming out, Washington is going to play well enough that they won't be in that top, you know, eight or nine picks probably. But I like what they have in Taylor Heineke, and I think they can continue to build around him. They obviously lack a little bit of skill at the. Yeah. I mean, they obviously have Terry McLaurin, they've got Antonio Gibson, but they do lack some skill on the offensive line and, you know, in the receiving corps and in the tight end position. But I really like...
They have multiple corps of receivers.
Yeah, have multiple corps. <That's>,
the corps of receivers.
The corps. The corps. It's platoons.
They have like five
many,
corps,
many
right?
Yeah.
Let's roll out the next corps.
Yeah, it's Sergeant Major, Private First Class. They have many, many different corps of receivers. Thank you for making fun of me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Next up, another team.
This is
like schizophrenic. I mean, they're all sort of schizophrenic. Yeah. Houston Texans 22, Tennessee Titans 13. The Texans go to 2-8 or rise to
and
2-8.
And Tyrod didn't even do that much.
Yeah, Tennessee Titans 8-3. Friday, what's going on with Tennessee? One week they look like they're going to the Super Bowl. The next week they're losing to Texans.
I think it's starting to show that they're missing their starting running back. What's that guy? Was his name Henry or something?
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
He
played okay.
He's an okay guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, his carry's pretty low. He doesn't carry the ball that much.
About 300 times a game.
He doesn't carry the ball that much. Yeah, but Tyrod Taylor,
eventually
he ran for a touchdown.
It's going to catch up to them, and I think in this game it sort of caught up to them.
But this was probably the most surprising outcome next to the Bills outcome. But Taylor, 14-24 for 107, no touchdowns, but two touchdowns on the ground for Tyrod Taylor, and he's not a young man anymore. But Ryan Tannehill, look at this, Franny. 35 of 52,
oof.
323, one counted, one touchdown, but four.
Count those.
Four interceptions in the game, three of them his fault. Mm-hmm. What say you about, you know, the Titans long-term,
you know, it's one of those games,
prospects,
Ben.
Because they're still 8-3, so they obviously they're still, you know, one of those, solid team.
It's like one of those games. You know, I mean, we expected the Bills to roll over the Jaguars with no issues, and you know, I think there's a little bit of disrespect when you come into these games. Like you think you don't have to play that hard, but all these guys out there, they're all professionals.
Yeah, I mean,
and no matter who you play in
the
NFL,
David Culley and Tyrod Taylor, they're professional. I mean, professional coach, professional quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, and I think there's, you know, just that little bit of, you know, disrespect. You're not as focused on this game. Maybe you're looking at the next game. you know, kind of what happened with the Bills and the Jags.
Bills are always looking to the next game.
Yeah, well.
It looks, it, well, it
actually, they did.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, too, because we talked about their loss. We'll talk about their Thursday night game. But, you know, I think that's what it was in this one. You know, I mean, Tennessee was kind of rolling over teams even without Derrick Henry. And now they came up with against an opponent that is just, I mean, they're just
and they're hungry,
fighting tooth and nail.
And I mean, they got nothing to lose.
They have absolutely nothing to lose, and they didn't lose this one. And Ryan Tannehill, though, 4 interceptions. I mean, Jesus. I mean, he's not that bad.
Yeah, but 4 interceptions is a lot of interceptions. That's pretty
bad. Yeah.
I mean, especially against the the Houston Texans. And we'll see what you know. They obviously still are sitting pretty in terms of a playoff playoff positioning, but that's an
that
ugly
might
loss.
Hurt them. That might hurt them for playoff positioning, though.
And next up, Friday, not much to say about this one. San Francisco 30, Jags 10. Jags fall to 2-8.
Yep.
Niners 5-5.
They're back in you know the playoff hunt. I mean they're basically one win out of the playoffs right now. You know, for a wild card spot, and you know there's a chance that they can make it.
Yeah, Jimmy G, another efficient game, 16-22 for 176. Two touchdowns, but again, Kyle Shanahan, 79 yards for Debo Samuel, 50
Debo
yards
Samuel.
For Wilson, Trey
I don't think enough people are talking about
32
Debo.
Yards.
I mean, Debo's a pretty impressive player, but
yeah,
he
can
do
he
pretty
can do
much everything. He does everything on the field.
Yeah, he's a literal Swiss Army knife, but all of the contraptions in the knife actually work.
Yeah.
It's not overkill.
Not that little saw.
Yeah, not that
like,
little saw.
Like, who needs that little saw on a
Swiss Army knife? Yeah, well, I mean, you never know when you might get trapped in a trunk and you have to saw through the metal to get
I've been
quarter panels.
I've been in a situation before. I didn't have a Swiss Army knife, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just punched it right out.
Yeah, exactly.
You just punched the quarter panel right off the car.
Yeah, no, I just unhooked the taillights and cops pulled over.
Your hands flailing out.
It was an interesting night,
you're, like,
man.
flailing out your hands through the taillights.
It was an interesting night. It was after the podcast, actually. It was episode 134.
Yeah, somebody threw him in the trunk out in front of my house. And
and I was yelling your name.
They didn't like all the shit talking about the Cowboys.
They were probably Cowboys fans.
Probably. Next up, Friday. Oh boy, Dolphins at Jets.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about
that. Dolphins 24, yeah. Jets 17. Yeah. Same old Dolphins, same old Jets. Jets 4 or Jets fall to 2-8. Dolphins rise to 4-7.
Although you chose the Jets in this one.
Yeah, Tua had a pretty good game. 27-33, 273. Two count them. Two touchdowns and a pick. But Joe Flacco 24 of 39, 291, and two touchdowns. But he can't play this week. So it looks like Zach, and I think he's out. I think Mike White is out. So by all accounts, you're going to be looking at Zach Wilson, I think, starting in this game, which is interestingly depressing considering he was the number two pick overall. Next up, Saints at Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saints 40. Eagles 40, Saints 29. Eagles rise to 5-6. Saints fall to 5-5.
Right back in the hunt.
This was a big
Ben.
Win because
it's huge.
They were at full strength. Taysom Hill was in this game. He was able to play.
I mean, they weren't technically at full strength. I mean,
actually, no. I don't think Taysom Hill played this game either.
Third string quarterback. You know, still.
But they're at full strength what they are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was no Alvin Kamara.
I mean, Winston's out.
I don't think Alvin Kamara was in this game either.
Nope, you're right.
Yeah, no, yeah. No,
so
Alvin
not
Kamara.
At full strength.
Yeah, not at full strength. But I mean,
I take back everything I said.
But the Eagles won a game that they should have won. And, I mean, just like Atlanta in the first week, they took care of business. And this one, they took care of business. And this was a full game. I mean, you know, on you know, offense,
was
defense.
It was a full game?
Special teams. Like,
they played the whole
every
thing?
Every facet of the game.
Like, all of the game was played?
The entire game was played, all 60 minutes. They didn't stop at 56 minutes. They went all 60 minutes, Ben. But I was really happy with the way they played in the first half. The second half, they kind of took their foot off the gas. I was kind of disappointed in that.
Well, you're not happy if they get a 40-point lead, if they give up any points
still,
at all.
Still, though, this game was closer than it needed to be. I mean, obviously, the final score, you know, 40-29, but at one point it was 33-22, you know, and I was kind of worried there because there was about 8 minutes left in the game.
As long as they never let him.
Gannon's defense showed its face again at the end of that game, and I did not like that. I mean,
I don't think they were ever within more than two scores.
No, it was 8 points.
Yeah,
or no, it wasn't 8 points. No,
it was always two scores throughout.
It was 11 points, but still. Still, though, with 8 minutes left in the game, I mean, they were up in this one by about 21 or 24 points. I can't remember, you know, how many points it was, but they were in a position where they should easily roll over this team. They allowed the Saints to make a little bit of a comeback, but, you know, they drove down the field, scored a touchdown. Hurts just ran it in from like 25 yards out.
Yep.
And, you know, they won the game. but it shouldn't have been that close. That's what I'm a little disappointed in that.
Well, your defense still a little banged up, but you poured it on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. 22 points in the fourth quarter.
The Saints did, yeah.
What's that?
The Saints poured it on.
Yeah, the Saints. Well, yeah. Sorry. The Saints poured it on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
That was worrying.
But you were up big. Hurts, 13 to 24, 147, but three touchdowns on the ground, Friday. Three touchdowns on the ground for Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson 2.0. Dallas got it. Five receptions for 62 yards in the game. Not much really through the air. Devontae Smith, 61 yards. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, a sighting. There was a sighting. It's like Haley's Comet. One reception for 23 yards.
I was surprised when he caught that ball. But I had no way to hands.
But look, Sanders.
Or arms.
Sanders with 16.
Or legs for that matter. I don't know who's on the team.
He's awful. 16 carries for Sanders.
You can block.
18 carries for Hurts. 10 carries for Jordan Howard. Yeah, and 6 carries for Boston Scott.
That is what the fans were calling for from the beginning of the
season.
Too
few for Boston Scott,
run
if you ask me.
The fucking ball. I mean, Jordan Howard, ever since he was, you know, kind of nudged into that position, I mean, he's been balling out. I mean, Jordan Howard has really been balling out. He hasn't.
He's a solid running back.
He hasn't been given enough credit.
Wasn't he at Chicago?
I mean, he could have been with the Steelers. I mean, he was taken off the scrap heap. Nobody wanted him.
We're one and done with our running backs. Apparently,
we have one.
We just have one. If he gets hurt, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
No, but I love the way the offensive line is playing. I mean, they're making holes. They're making space for our running backs. You know, blocking. You know, they're doing a decent job. I mean, even in this one, Hurts had plenty
of time. The offensive line's holding
up
pretty well.
The pocket.
And Kelsey's leading.
Yeah. But I mean, just missing three starters on the offensive line and to play as well as they are, you know, a few weeks back, it wasn't that good, but, you know, you get a few practices in with these guys, and it's gotten better week over week. And that was my gripe early in the season, is I didn't see any improvement at all in the Eagles. But these last few weeks, I've really seen improvement in this team. And, you know, I'm hoping for a win, to bring it back to 500.
Oh, for sure.
This coming week.
Absolutely. And I've been really impressed with Hurts. I mean, people say he's not a rookie. He's not a rookie technically, but he only played five games last year.
He's only played 18 games. So far.
And the team was a little bit in disarray last year with all of the drama with Jeffrey Lurie and Doug Peterson and everything that was going on last year. So he was able to weather that storm. He got a taste of the bad. Now he's got a taste of a little stability. And I really like what I'm seeing from Jalen Hurts. He knows when to hold him. He knows when to run. I mean, I'd like to see him get a little bit better in terms of his pocket awareness, moving up in the pocket, getting the ball out downfield rather than immediately sort of when the pressure comes, taking it and rolling out. When he learns to finally step up in the pocket and find that hole that Kelsey and those guys are creating for him and gets the ball downfield with his arm, this is going to be a dangerous team. And he'll get there because I think he knows what he has to do. Next up, another game where the team that goes on to win a game the following week shits the bed against an AFC North opponent. The Cincinnati Bengals 32, Raiders 13. Bengals rise to 6-4. Raiders fall to 5-5. Joe Burrow, 20 of 29 for 148 and a touchdown in this game. Derek Carr played like shit. 19 for 27, 215, one touchdown, count it, and one interception. But Franny, why does the AFC North teams that are not the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to get up against opponents who shit the bed and play their worst football against the AFC North?
I mean, it's pretty interesting because we saw what the Raiders did with the Cowboys on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know,
they played well.
And how well they played.
And they were at home in that game. They were at home in this game.
Yep. The house doesn't always win in Vegas.
Oh, no. They were actually, I think they played in Dallas, I think.
Actually, they did. They played in Dallas. Yeah.
They just can't play at home.
That's even better.
That's even better.
That makes it even sweeter.
But what do you make of the Raiders here, Friday? I mean, I know they went to six. They go to 6-5 if they're beating the Cowboys. We'll talk about that. But the Bengals, I mean, they put up 32 points on a pretty pedestrian effort by Derek Carr. Joe Mixon balling out again.
Cold from the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, 30 carries for Joe Mixon, 123 yards at two, count them, two touchdowns. But the Bengals, I mean, it's hard to know what to expect from them. But this division is really, you know, turning into a mess of the middle. I mean, everyone is bunched up with similar records. And the Steelers, the ball isn't bouncing the way. For the Steelers, it's bouncing for their opponents, I think, in that division.
Yeah, I mean, but you're still, you know, in the playoffs right now. I mean, you know, the way it is right now.
Why couldn't the Raiders win this game?
Well,
give me something.
They were saving up their energy for the Cowboys, I guess. Thank God.
Apparently.
Thank God.
But Joe Burrow, again, pretty pedestrian effort. We'll see what he does the rest of the way. But Franny, the Cowboys at the Chiefs. The Chiefs, 19. Really lighting up
Yeah.
The scoreboard at Kansas City. Dallas Cowboys 9. Cowboys at that point were 7-3. Chiefs 7-4. Back vying for the number one seed, unfortunately, because they had two wins in a row that should have been losses. But Dak Prescott, 28 of 43 for 216.
I'll say fuck the Cowboys now. I'll take one
there
shot right
we
now.
Go. Let's do that
fuck
shot.
The Cowboys. This was, it was sort of a nerve-wracking game. I thought the Cowboys might actually come back and win this
two
one.
Two picks for Prescott.
But, fuck the Cowboys. I'm happy that they lost this one.
But look at Mahomes, 23 of 37, 260, no touchdowns, and another pick.
Shot glass right there.
Clyde Edwards, hello. 12 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce with a touchdown. On the ground. Tyreek Hill with 77 yards, no touchdowns, no touchdowns through the air in this game. This was another great opportunity. Sorry it's the Cowboys, but another great opportunity for a team to put the Chiefs out of all of our misery.
Cheers. Punishment
and,
shot.
And bury them and make it difficult for them.
The Cowboys. All right.
In the playoffs. Fronny.
Yeah.
Let's do the shot.
Cheers, Ben.
Sorry. I couldn't stop talking.
All right, that's enough for me for the evening.
But the Cowboys should have won this game.
No, they shouldn't have.
I mean, my team's in the AFC, so I want the Chiefs buried.
Yeah, that's true. That's
right.
True.
And obviously, Mahomes had another bad game.
Didn't play great.
And the Cowboys, the best offense in the league, early on in the season.
I think he fumbled in this one too. It was a fumble near the red zone, and the Cowboys got it back in good position, but they just couldn't score when they were in scoring position. I mean, within the 20-30 yard line, they just couldn't score.
The Chiefs'
score
defense now
one.
All of a sudden is playing lights out.
Andy Reid?
Yeah, Andy Reid, the great defensive mind that is Andy Reid. Okay.
No, but what's his face?
I don't even think he knows the names
what's
of
his
the
face?
Players.
Spagnuolo. In this one.
I've always liked Spagnuolo. I thought the Giants should have kept him around.
No, I love what he did in this game. But he didn't do what a lot of teams do on third down, which he doesn't do usually, is not bring pressure. But he brought pressure every single time on third down when the Cowboys needed to convert. And Dak Prescott, once you put a little bit of pressure in Dak Prescott's face, the dude doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And that's what everybody in the league should realize. That's something that the Eagles don't realize for some reason.
In this game, yeah.
You know, and it worked every single time in this one. And that's why it was such a low scoring game, but they still won the game because of Spagnuolo's defense and putting pressure on Dak Prescott. Because once you do that, he's throwing the ball in the dirt. He's throwing over players. He's throwing interceptions. You know, just put a little bit of pressure on Dak. That's all you have to do.
I don't disagree. I mean, it's just disappointing.
He becomes Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, worse. He's worse than Mason Rudolph in this game. It's just disappointing to see the Chiefs defense now playing as well as it is.
Yeah.
Because when
it
offense
doesn't work with every quarterback. It works with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Dak Prescott. Sorry. I always root against the Cowboys, but against an AFC opponent.
Yeah, I know.
Like the Chiefs. I can't help it.
I needed it. You did not.
But here you go, Fronny. The end of an era. It might be the end of the era in Seattle. Cardinals 23, Seattle Seahawks 13. Cardinals go to 9-2. Seattle Seahawks fall to 3-7. Colt McCoy, 35 of 44 for 328 and two touchdowns in the game. James Conner, all I do is score touchdowns. 21 carries for 62 yards and another touchdown. James Conner. Man, he is lighting it up. Zach Ertz, 88 yards on 8 carries and 2 touchdowns. He is lighting it up in Arizona. But Russell Wilson, 14 to 26 for 207. No touchdowns, no interceptions, no Chris Carson out for the season. Seahawks at 3-7, Fronny. Is their season over? Is the era of Russell Wilson
that
over?
They're
not going to win a lot of games going down the stretch.
They are not. I mean, they were good for so long. And so there has to come a point where a team sort of, like just the Eagles, Andy Reid era, you know, it kind of came to an abrupt end, a couple of really bad seasons. And I'm kind of seeing the same thing with the Seattle Seahawks.
They've got talent
and Pete
in Seattle.
Carroll.
Though.
We had some talent there too.
But DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jamal Adams,
Not much of a running game to speak of. I mean, you still need a running game.
But, Alex Collins is not terrible.
If it was Kyler Murray in this one, I wouldn't be as disappointed, but you're losing to Colt McCoy. And they were close.
Yeah, and I think he's like 33 or 34.
Yeah, at points in this game, they were pretty close to turning it around, and you kind of expect the Seahawks to sort of turn
this
things
is
around.
Bad. 3-7 is bad.
But I mean, you know, 23-13 against Colt McCoy.
And, it's not the defense. The offense cannot put points up on the board.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, Russell Wilson can blame the offensive line
all he wants.
What happened to Russell Wilson, though?
Guys like Tom Brady, guys at that level, guys like Patrick Mahomes, they don't just stop scoring points, you know, for an entire – well, I know he was out for four games.
Yeah.
But the offense isn't able to do anything. They become so dependent on the long bomb that when that bomb isn't there, they are incapable of moving the ball down the field. They're bombless. They can't move the ball down the field. And it's mind-boggling to me.
But, I mean, Russell Wilson, you know.
I mean, this is supposed to be a revamped offense under Shane Waldron that gave Russell Wilson everything he wanted.
Yeah. Let him cook, but he's not cooking. He's actually chilling. He's actually freezing right now.
He's chilling.
He's in the freezer.
He's ice fishing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's almost like mind-boggling to see how bad he is because I looked at him as one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, and now you watch him.
I thought he was the best quarterback in the league.
Now you watch him, and it's like, is it Geno Smith out there? Like, your backup quarterback?
Maybe it should be. Maybe it should be.
I mean, you know, Colt McCoy's the backup, but he's lighting it up.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Russell Wilson, the starter, he can't. He's just
Do you put Geno Smith in a game just to get Russell Wilson's head right?
No, I don't think you do that. But I mean, it's
they just lost to the Cardinals 23-13.
I know,
to Colt McCoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Kleff Kingsbury's got a great team. There's a ton of talent on that team.
You should win this game.
I mean, there's a ton of talent on that Arizona team.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah, it's sad to see how it's going to end because I think this might get really ugly down the stretch, and I would be shocked beyond anything to see Russell Wilson be back with this team next year. I just can't see it. I mean, if Pete Carroll is back, they gave him everything he wanted. They brought people in on the offensive line. They draft offensive linemen. They brought in a new offensive coordinator that he was supposed to work with well. You've still got Tyler Lockett. You've still got DK Metcalf. The offensive line is not playing great. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But there's enough talent out there with, you know, even at the tight end position, there's enough talent out there, you know, with Everett and, you know, there's talent. And I'm just really disappointed to see Russell Wilson.
I mean, it's disappointing.
He's essentially Apollo Creed with the white towel. I think he's just thrown it in.
We've always been huge fans of Russell Wilson and we've always praised him for his play on the field. But I mean, this year, I mean, it doesn't look like Russell Wilson before his injury, after his injury. I mean, he just doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't look like he's like a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know what's in his head, but there's enough talent on that team to win games like this.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't go 12-5, but there's enough talent on this team to get points on the board.
Look at the Niners.
You can't double Metcalf and Lockett. I mean, open down there.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the Niners. Are the Niners that much better than the Seahawks?
The Niners aren't better than a lot of teams, but they're well coached.
They're
5-5. They run the ball well.
They're 5-5, and they are there's potential for them to actually make the playoffs, and maybe not to win the division because they have Arizona and the Rams there. But I mean, as a wild card, they can still make it. But the Seahawks should be good enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and a lot of teams...
Especially with Russell Wilson. I just don't get it.
I mean, a lot of teams have been hot and cold. But for the beginning of the season, the Seahawks have been nothing but cold.
Yeah.
I know Russell Wilson lost. I mean, he didn't play four games. But the best moments I've seen this season, other than really early on, were Geno Smith. Not in the game that he played like shit.
Yeah.
But at least it looked like there was some spark, some life. And I never thought I would say this.
Oh, this was an exciting one.
Oh, boy. Worst game of the week.
For the neutral spectator, this was a good game.
What a mess this was.
It was a fun one to watch.
Chargers 41, Steelers 37, Steelers at 5-4-1, Chargers at 6-4. Roethlisberger, the Roethlisberger of old, looks like he could play for another 5 years at this rate.
That's not good at ourselves.
28 of 44 for 273-3. Count them. 3 touchdowns, 27 points. In the fourth quarter, huge comeback in this game after being left for dead. Even people that were professional football podcasters and journalists left this stadium before the fourth quarter got underway because they saw the writing on the board that the Steelers were going to lose this game. They wanted to get out of there, and they actually missed one of the games.
Want to beat traffic.
One of the best games. Herbert, 30 of 41 for 382. Three, count them. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Steelers also have a blocked punt in this game. They also have a big hold on a fourth down in this game. They do everything they can to give themselves a chance to win, but they come up short because the defense is without JJ or TJ Watt. They're without Joe Hayden. They're without Minkah Fitzpatrick. They're without, obviously Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt on defense, who've been out for a long time, but they had nobody essentially on defense. You got guys like Loudermilk and other folks playing big snaps, you know, big up to Cam Sutton. Probably his fault that the touchdown was scored late in the game, essentially the dagger. But he played well last week and this week, so I'm not going to hang this one on him. But if the defense just had a little bit more
talent
that was healthy, if Minkah's there, that touchdown probably doesn't get scored at the end. But this was a very frustrating game to watch, but also a very exciting game to watch if you're looking for Steelers offense, because we're able to put up 27 points in the fourth quarter and eventually get a three-point lead. But we choke on defense, give up 7 points, and then we end up deep down on our own end of the field, end up with like a 4th and 22, then a 4th and 29 or whatever it was, get nothing. Fronnie, what say?
I mean, it was...
I almost wish they would have just lost the game by 30.
This was sort of a must-win game for the Chargers, though, too. I mean, especially in that division. I mean, they had to win this game, and they won this game. But, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of positives in this one for the Steelers. I mean, missing all these guys on defense, and then to be able to put up a ton of points in the fourth quarter and make a comeback... It was good to see. It was fun to watch. I mean, you know, obviously, if I'm not an Eagles fan, then I'm a Steelers fan. You know, I mean, it's kind of weird that I'm rooting for two teams in Pennsylvania. I know a lot of Steelers fans and Eagles fans don't root. I mean, I don't live in Pennsylvania, so I don't give a fuck. I live in California. But, you know, my second favorite team is the Steelers.
I don't hate you.
I know my second favorite team is the Steelers, and I really wanted them to win this game. But, you know, I like you said, Ben, I mean,
birthplace of democracy.
But to see that, but to see them be able to put up this many points, maybe it's a turning point for the offense. I mean, the defense obviously are missing a lot of pieces. You know, Justin Herbert, second year player, but he's a little more accomplished than what other second year players are. Or, I mean, he's going to be one of the.
And the defense was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's been one of the great talents in the NFL. I mean, for years to come, this guy's been really good.
I mean, you got fucking. Cam Hayward punching Herbert in the stomach. Wasn't really a punch, by the way. I mean, watch the video. He didn't hit him. Like, he didn't, like, haul. He hit him, but I'm not sure exactly. But he didn't actually.
Punch him in the groin.
He didn't put a lot of oomph behind the punch. But they also tried to knock Najee Harris
been,
out.
That should have been a penalty right
there. Hitting him clean in the helmet with an elbow on purpose, which was way worse than what Hayward did. But there was a lot of frustration. But Cam Hayward stepped up and did everything he could conceivably do in this game to give the Steelers an opportunity on defense, but the secondary was just too banged up.
Yeah.
But we get that blocked punt, Fronny. We get the huge hold on fourth down in the fourth quarter. Interception off a helmet, and we still aren't able to pull it out.
Yeah.
Because the defense was just too banged up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it hurts.
It does. I mean, it was a close game. It was actually much closer than I expected it to be.
We had that 3-point lead. I'm like, oh, I just looked at the clock and saw 3 minutes and 8 seconds left, and I was like, nope.
And it was an easy touchdown.
It's over.
It was too easy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the offensive line couldn't block for Roethlisberger at all at the end.
I know. He didn't even try to pick up a first down on 4th and 29.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed he didn't just throw a bomb down there.
Do it. What do you have to lose?
You know, I don't know why you're throwing in the flat for 8 yards.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the way the offense is coming together with Johnson and Claypool and even Washington.
You love Matt Canada.
But, you know, Pat Freiermuth, I do like the talent that they've got despite Matt Canada. They do have a lot of talent, and Roethlisberger, I think, is really starting to gel, which is what he said. He said it was going to take 7 or 8 games for this team to really gel.
A few more.
And we're a few more games than that in, but we are really starting to finally gel on offense.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the Steelers actually this year at all. I mean, I still think they're going to make the playoffs, and once they're back to full health, full strength, I think they're going to be one of the tough opponents in the AFC for anybody to face.
I hope so.
You want
next.
A quick break?
Quick break. Fronny wants to use the restroom.
It's 53 minutes in. Yes, I got to use the restroom.
Fronny wants to use the restroom. All right, folks.
Break.
We'll have a quick restroom break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the Week 11 games. Hold tight.
All right, and we are back with the remainder of a couple of games from Week 11. Sorry, Ben. I was holding that for
for a while,
for quite some time. I mean,
too many shots. Cowboy shots, Raven shots.
Yeah, I know.
No Bengal shots.
You know, whatever we're drinking on the table as well.
All right, next up, Fronny. Henry Houdini, otherwise known as Tom Brady in the pocket. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, much to Peyton and Eli's chagrin, watching this game on a Monday night. Poor Eli trying to root his Giants on, but the Buccaneers 30, Giants 10. Giants go to 3-7. Buccaneers rise up to 7-3 because the Gronk is back. But Tom Brady, 30 of 46 for 307. To count him, two touchdowns and a pick. Leonard Fournette with 35 yards on the ground, but Ronald Jones with a touchdown. But look at Mike Evans with 73 yards and a touchdown. Look at Chris Godwin with 65 yards and a touchdown. Wait, I thought, yeah, Gronkowski, six catches for 71 yards. But the next Hall of Fame quarterback coming out of New York City, Daniel Jones, 23 of 38 for 167, one count it, one touchdown and two terrible picks. Friday, the Giants are not playing good football. Tom Brady is.
When have they played good football in the last 10 years?
With Eli Manning.
After that Super Bowl.
He had a few decent seasons in there.
No, not really.
A few decent seasons in there.
No, but I mean, I expected this win. I mean, you know, the Bucs, they did struggle in their last game. You know, Tom Brady not playing Tom Brady-like football, turns things around in this one, beats the Giants like the Tampa Bay Bucs should. And, you know, this is kind of the result that I expected all along.
Yeah, but watching Tom Brady in a pocket in this game was a thing of beauty. I mean, just watching him move in the pocket.
So sexy.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's literally artistic. The way that Aaron Rodgers rolls out and is able to throw the ball down the field, this is as sexy as Aaron Rodgers rolling out and throwing the ball downfield. I mean, the way that Tom Brady is able to move, you know, a total distance of about 12 yards, but somehow, you know, move into the limited space that his offensive line creates, stepping up in the pocket to his left, to his right, and just finding that space, that open space, and getting the ball down the field. It really is a thing of beauty to watch. Next up, the Thanksgiving Day games.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, NFL, for giving us a pile of dog shit every single
year. Hey. The Raiders did win, all right? That's not a pile of dog shit.
But now there's three piles of dog shit. Well, there was one decent game, but usually it's three heaping piles of dog shit every Thanksgiving, or two. It used to be. Now it's three. Chicago Bears 16, even though they couldn't manage to beat Baltimore last week. The Bears 16, Lions 14, Lions 0-10-1, longing for those Caldwell days when they were able to at least get to a 500 record. Bears go to 4-7. Andy Dalton, 24 of 39 for 317. One touchdown, count it, one pick. But poor. Why is this changing what I'm trying to do? Lion Jared Goff, 21 of 25 for 171. Two touchdowns, Ronnie, would say.
In this one, either team could have won. I mean, we were talking about good time management.
No, can the Lions win?
We were talking about
the Lions really
probably
win?
Probably not, no. But we were talking about good time management at the end of that Vikings-Green Bay game, which they did an excellent job. Same thing in this one.
Like the Steelers should have ran the ball all the way down to the end of the game and actually kicked the field goal
probably,
rather than...
But yeah. there was still a lot of time in that one. But I mean, in this one, I mean, Matt Nagy actually did a good job in this one, killing the clock completely to the point where the Lions couldn't do anything. They kicked the field goal to win the game. I mean, it was a boring game all around, but I mean, you know, It was nice to see wise time management by a coach, because you don't always see that, even from some of the best coaches, from the Belichicks of the world, from Andy Reid as well. I mean, he's one of the best, but also one of the worst at managing his time. Matt Nagy is a terrible coach, but he did a good job at the end of this one to kick a field goal at the end to win it, and there's no time left on the clock. But the Lions are really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I just missed the Bill Cowher Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, even with a little over 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes left in that game, you know, when the Steelers finally get that last possession before the possession that the Chargers scored in the old days, you know, we would have got Jerome Bettis would have been out there. We would have pounded that rock, let them burn up all their timeouts, grind it down to, 30 seconds, 45 seconds in the game. That's probably best we could have done in that situation, maybe 30 seconds, and then kick the field goal and then make them get down the field. Somehow, you know, either score a touchdown or a field goal, but with only 30 seconds and no timeouts. But we were not. That team is gone. Now it's just score as fast as you can, however you can, and let the chips fall where they may. To Franny's point, time management is not a priority these days. But the beautiful game, the middle game, the one game I actually got to watch some of, the Raiders 36 in overtime over the Dallas Cowboys 33.
Look at Derek Carr's turnaround.
Yeah, the Raiders 6-5, Cowboys 7-4. Fronty, what's eight?
Also, I mean, I was surprised by the Raiders' defense early on in this game. I mean, the Raiders played really well on defense. I mean, obviously, this final score of 36-33 is a high-scoring game. But, you know, they played really well early on, kept the Cowboys, you know, from scoring even in, you know, in red zone situations. And, you know, Derek Carr balled out. I mean, I mean, 4 days later, you know, the dude sucks Sunday, but then turn around Thursday on Thanksgiving, the dude he was balling out 373 yards and one touchdown. I mean, the Raiders surprisingly played well. I mean, is this the turnaround for the Raiders, Ben? I mean,
No, this is the turnaround.
We've talked about this, actually, right?
You
know
what?
We should have given too many props, usually early on in the season. You know what? This is one win, but it's a good win for the Eagles. The Cowboys lose. I'm not going to say anything negative.
All right. Josh Jacobs.
All right, fuck the Cowboys.
All right,
fuck
there we
the
go.
Cowboys
there
again.
We go. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a small shot.
I'll take one with you.
A small shot. I mean, this game was so much fun to watch because the Cowboys came from behind.
Yeah, I get home and Sonya's rushes in the house and she's like, "You're not watching the game," because I was like feeding the dogs and getting ready to go out to second dinner. And she's like, "You know they're going to overtime, right?" I'm like, "What?" So I actually at least got to watch the beginning of the game and then the piece of overtime in this game.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yes. But Josh, and the Cowboys got the possession.
Yep.
I think they went 3-and-out in overtime to start the game. I think
they got the ball. There was no way the way that the game had been, at least as far as I understood how the game had played, because I didn't watch a lot of it, the tail end of it. But my position, I think I texted you, was at that point, I think it was 3rd-and-4. It was 4th-and-4. At that point, the Cowboys absolutely had no choice but to go for it the way that the Raiders had been playing. And they didn't go for it. They punted, and the Raiders just marched right down the field, ended the game with a field goal. And they could have kept going. I mean, they kicked the field goal on first down. Mm-hmm. They had a penalty. And I think it was on 3rd down. They were about to kick. Oh no, it was a penalty on the kick. It was a penalty on the field goal that they were going to kick.
Oh,
that gave them.
That's right.
That gave them a first down. And instead of actually running the ball 3 times, I can't remember the head coach's name or the interim head coach's name. They decided to kick the field goal.
Bisacci
on first. Down, rather than trying to run the ball and get it a little bit closer. But Carr moved them right down the field in overtime. It was actually a kind of a thing of beauty. Josh Jacobs with a big run in overtime as well. And I just thought the Cowboys, to win that game, had to go for it on that 4th-and-4. Yeah. I know they were at like the 35, 40-yard line or 35-yard line, somewhere like that. But I knew as soon as they punted that ball that the game was over.
Yeah, I mean,
let's do the shot.
Yeah, cheers, Ben. I mean, this is a great result for the Eagles. I mean, you know, the Eagles, you know, a few weeks ago were 3-6, and I thought they had absolutely no chance of maybe winning the NFC East.
Yeah, you were negative.
Now,
you were negative Nancy Nelly.
And I will be next week again, probably. But
team sucks.
But, I mean,
they
two
all
losses.
Suck. Fuck these guys.
Two losses.
I don't even know how they're paying them. They should have to pay the Eagles.
Exactly.
Just for the experience.
Two losses in 4 days for the Cowboys. That is so great for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles sitting at 5-6.
Mike
now
McCarthy,
the Cowboys
baby.
Are 7-4. I mean, the Eagles are just 2 games behind. They have a chance. I mean, the last game of the season against the Cowboys, we'll see how the season plays out. But the Eagles might still, possibly, have a chance.
No, they do have a chance.
The NFC.
There's maybe 2 good teams in the entire league.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the Cardinals.
Great result, though.
The Cardinals and the Bucks might be the only two legit.
Yeah, I'm going to take my shot now. Okay. I'm sorry. I was excited about this loss.
All right. I'll drag whatever's in the bottom of this glass here. But maybe it's the Cardinals.
The
Cardinals and the Bucks might be the only.
The Packers. Come on,
maybe?
The Packers. The Patriots are actually they're actually a scary team for the AFC right now.
But there really aren't very many good teams in the league.
Because Boom Jones is playing like.
The Bills.
He doesn't
are
look
back
like a
second,
rookie out
no,
there.
The Bills are back in second place. I mean, if you really look at the league, other than the Cardinals, might be the only really good
legit
team
like
in the entire
solid
league.
Team that I mean.
The Rams are hot and cold.
I mean, if
the
they
Bills
had
are
Kyler Murray,
cold, the Packers are banged up.
I mean, they lost that one game to the Niners a few weeks back with Colt McCoy, but the Niners are also a well-coached team, but they turn around with Colt McCoy, and then they, you know, they kick ass against the Seahawks. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. The Eagles are right back in
it. I mean, they are because of that loss right there. The Eagles are right back in sort of not only the hunt for the playoffs, but also possibly the NFC
division.
East.
Yeah, I mean, there's, what, 7 games to go?
Yeah, and they play the Giants. They play the Giants.
Six games to go.
They play the Giants twice. They play Washington twice, and they play the Cowboys once. So, I mean, they're right there. So, you know, it's all division games.
And you got the Cowboys to finish up the season in week 18.
And that could be a crucial game for the division. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that was a nice game.
But that was a good win for the Raiders.
Yeah, that was a huge win.
I was a huge Raiders fan. I'm never a Raiders fan.
Never a Raiders fan.
I mean, you know,
and next week they're going to get
blown. I wish them all the best.
And next week they're going to get blown out.
Yeah, probably. So who cares, though? But they beat the Cowboys.
But I will never, I'm never going to be optimistic about the Raiders again until they prove to me otherwise. Bills 31, Saints 6. No Taysom Hill in this game. Bills go to 7-4. Get an easy win over the Saints. Saints falling to 5-6. But Josh Allen still two interceptions in this game on 260 yards and four touchdowns. But on the other side of the ball, not really much to speak of.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian, 17-29 for 163. One touchdown, one pick.
Siemian was kind of left on an island over here. I mean, he's a third-string quarterback on this team. Or maybe the second and third.
Ty Montgomery still in the league somehow.
He's kind of a second and third string quarterback.
More like a fourth string quarterback.
Yeah, kind of.
It's more like a practice squad.
There's no Ingram. There's no Alvin Kamara. You know, this is something that we sort of expected. 31-6. These were the good old days for the Bills early on the season.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram. Not Melvin Ingram. What's his first name?
For who?
Ingram, who was their running back for the longest time, who's now somewhere else.
Wait, he's back on the team.
Oh, is he? Oh, he's back with the Saints.
Yeah, he's back with the Saints. That's what I'm saying. There's no Ingram. There's no Alvin Kamara. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, fans.
Yeah, there
for
you
my
go.
Lack of knowledge. I thought he was with. I could have sworn he was with Baltimore. Maybe
I mean, there's only 30 teams in the NFL, Ben.
I know that's true. But I fucked that one up.
When you said how many teams, I was thinking about the NBA.
Maybe Blake Gillikin. I don't even know who this person is, but maybe that's their next quarterback, Blake Gillikin.
You don't know Gillikin?
I don't know
from
Gillikin.
The island.
No, I mean, but he really annoyed the professor. He had a crush on Marianne, but nothing really came of it.
I mean, did nobody have a crush on Marianne? I mean, like...
I had a crush on Marianne.
Marianne, yeah.
Of course I had a crush on Marianne.
I'm not a big fan of gingers, though.
Yeah. I was a bigger fan of Marianne.
Yeah, yeah.
But finally, I mean, the Bills get back on track, but against a weak team. So I don't know that it says much about where the Bills are going this season.
I mean, they're going to playoffs, but I mean, I'm not sure how much success they're going to have in the playoffs. I mean, against some of their AFC opponents. I mean, you know, they're sitting in second place right now behind the Patriots, and the Patriots are playing really well.
But everybody's healthy, essentially.
Yeah.
The Bills. Mm-hmm. Cole Beasley is healthy. Stephon Diggs is healthy. Josh Allen is healthy.
Stephon Diggs had himself a pretty good game.
Yeah, but Devin Singletary is healthy. Dawson Knox is healthy. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is hell. I mean, everyone is playing. I know the offensive line is breaking down a little bit, but they really have most of their core players are healthy and ready to play. And yet,
you think they're overconfident? You think that might be a problem? Like after the success of last year and even the season before, they were pretty good too.
But by this point in the season, you think that confidence would have been, relatively tempered.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Need,
too.
You know, who they need Roy Kent. They need Roy Kent in his locker room.
Oi!
What do you think about the Bills? They suck!
They have. They've been good and they've been bad. I mean, it's you just don't know which Bills team you're going to get week after week.
But I mean, obviously that's our adopted team, but the way that they're playing this year, it makes them hard to really want to sit down and help them with their homework because they're playing pretty bad.
I mean, they have the talent there to win games, and they've struggled against bad opponents. And against the Jags and against even the Miami Dolphins where they struggled.
And they get another game against the Patriots.
Yeah. That's going to be an exciting one.
Yeah. I mean, they can knock up on the Dolphins. They can beat up on the Dolphins and the Jets one more time. But I think they may struggle against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. All right, Friday, that's it for the week 11 games and the early week 12 games, the Thanksgiving Day games. What's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, we have a shout-out to our new and loyal listeners out there.
Yes, as Friday said earlier in the show, we have been doing this since November of 2018. So thank everyone that has been with us for the long haul, as well as those of you that are new to the show. We truly appreciate each and every one of you. Since 2018, we've been a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews, and cognac. Since you're listening, please consider heading to our website, thirstygold.buzzsprout.com, or search Thirsty Gold Podcast on any web browser and subscribe, rate, and review the show and get us on any podcatcher in the universe. Tell a friend, a family member, a coworker, a stranger, just one person. Please, just tell one person about our show. We would truly, truly appreciate it. And if you don't listen to us on a traditional podcatcher, you can also get us on Pandora, Audible, and Amazon Music. Friday, what's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, NFL Week 12 picks and Ben's betting line.
Yeah, I figure we might as well combine these into
one.
Yeah,
we should.
Rather than going through the games twice, which, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because once we get to the betting.
See, Ben, you're like the director. Of the podcast.
Well, I know that you like, you know, you're not always thrilled when we get to the betting corner portion.
I'm always thrilled.
Well, you start out like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then you're like, ooh, over. Ooh, I like that under. Yeah, you started like, oh my God, I got to do this for Ben because he likes to bet on games. Fine.
Well, you do, but you do a good job. I mean, you do a really good job on this.
Oh, yeah, not this last week.
Well, you can't win every single week.
That's true. But first up, Friday, we got the Tennessee Titans at the New England Patriots. We could give our picks on who we think is going to win the game, and then we can break down the lines just a little bit rather than doing it twice, I guess.
Right. Sounds good.
So who do you think is going to come out? This is actually a nice matchup.
It's actually a pretty interesting matchup. I mean, because the Titans are sort of schizophrenic. I mean, especially after last week's loss to the Texans, of all teams. I actually expect the Patriots...
Texans got heart.
I expect the Patriots to win this one at home. But I would still take the plus 256 on the Titans.
No. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I still think... I mean, the Titans have a chance. I think it's going to be a close one. It's possible that they do win, but I'm still choosing the Patriots to actually win the game.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots to win. The spread is -7 with an over-under of 43.5.
-7 is a lot, though.
Yeah, but the Titans, I mean, they're not playing particularly well, and the Patriots are playing really, really well. I'm actually going to take the Patriots -7 and the over 43.5 on a teaser, pushing the -7 down 6 and the over down 6. Mm-hmm. You like the Titans plus 256.
I'll take that. I mean, if I have to bet anything, I'd bet that.
All right. Next up, Friday, your New York Jets at the Houston Texans.
Yeah. I mean, is this game going to be televised? Is this going to be a televised game?
It's going to be like on Discovery. You know, Discovery 3.
PBS. Discovery 3.
ESPN 7.
ESPN U.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know whatever what? The one is not in HD. Yeah. Like, I think ESPN has one that we don't even, that's not even in HD. Whatever that one is.
Yeah. So I'm going to choose the Texans in this one. I mean, because the Jets really don't know. They don't have a quarterback right now. I'm not sure who their quarterback's going to be.
Is Zach Wilson ready to play?
I don't know.
Because Flacco's out. Mike White is out.
I'm just going to choose the Texans in this one. And I wouldn't bet on this one at all. Yeah. There's no reason to bet on this game.
I'm still going to take the Jets. I'm still going to take the Jets to win this game because I can't do anything else. It's the Texans -2.5, over under 45. I would take the under. Under 45. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how these two teams can score 21, 22 points each. I just don't know how that's possible. It's going to be like 17 to 13. Next up, Eagles at the Giants, Franey. Another division game for you.
It is. I'm going to take the Eagles in this one, Ben. I don't usually take the Eagles, and I'm scared to take the Eagles. I know. Seriously.
You took Detroit against the Eagles, if memory serves, earlier this season.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
you literally picked the Detroit Lions over your own team, and now you're taking
But they won that game, and
and now you're taking...
It's worked.
Now you're taking the...
I mean, it's worked for all these weeks. I mean, they're
back
in the playoff.
So you're afraid to pick them.
Yeah, I'm always afraid to pick the Eagles. But I'm going to choose the Eagles in this one. I'll take them at -3.5, -109.
Yeah, it's -3.5, over under 45.5. I'll take the Eagles -3.5 and the under 45.5 on a teaser, pushing the under up to 51.5 and the Giants down.
Yeah, I'll take the over 45. I might take the over 45.5. The Eagles can score some points.
They can, but the Giants can't.
But the Eagles scored 40 last week.
But that's kind of a fluke.
Oh, they scored 33 the week before.
Yeah. Giants defense is not terrible. The offense, on the other hand, is terrible.
Yeah.
Next up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Colts, Friday, at your Carson Wentz-led Colts.
You know, I think the Colts have actually found something.
What did they find?
They found
what did the Colts find this time?
They found that they could win a game.
Is this the year that they found something?
I'm going to choose the Colts in this one. I'm going to take the Colts at +150
over the Bucks.
In this over the Bucks, yeah.
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 Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
In a dome.
Actually, you know what? fuck you, because I lost a lot of bets. I lost a lot of bets in the playoffs last week. You know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to choose the Bucks in this one.
But you just, but you felt really, you thought that.
Yeah, I know, but I.
But you thought the Colts found something. What did they find? Explain, expound more on that.
I mean, JT has been running the ball like a madman. I mean, the dude is.
It's not, this is not the same Buccaneers team.
No, it's not. But, I mean, I was very impressed by Jonathan Taylor last week. 5 touchdowns, 4 on the ground, 1 in the air. You know, I mean, he is, you know, one of the premier running backs in the league. They have found that. I mean, Carson Wentz, he's probably going to throw a stupid interception in this one. But, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he's been throwing some dumb interceptions himself.
He has?
Yeah, you know what? I'm still going to roll with the Colts.
That's right. I didn't want to talk you out of it.
Let's roll with the Colts. I'm rolling with the Colts at +102. For the +3, I think they're going to win by more than 3, and that +152.
All right, yeah, I'm going to take the Buccaneers minus the spread's -3 over under 53.5. I'm going to take the Bucs -3. Jonathan Taylor against the best run defense or one of the best run defenses in the league. Tom Brady just back there doing evil Knievel, Henry Houdini type.
Last week you said the same thing when I said the Colts were going to beat the Titans. You said no, that's not going to happen.
Well, the Colts are really they're a neurotic team. They're difficult.
It was the Titans, right? They play the Titans.
Yeah, it's difficult to know what the Colts are going to be week to week.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what Tom Brady's going to be week to week, and that is super sexy, super successful. Next up, Atlanta Falcons at the Jags.
I'm going to take the
Falcons. -2
Falcons
over under 45.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
Yeah, I'll take the Falcons to win, I guess.
I would expect them to win by more than 2, though.
I don't know if either one of these teams. I'm not betting on this game. The spread's -2.
I wouldn't touch it at all, yeah.
And the over-under is 45. I mean, if I was going to touch anything, it'd be the under.
Yeah.
Just because. But who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Next up, Panthers at Dolphins.
Yeah, Panthers.
Interesting.
I would still start P.J. Walker, but that's just me.
That's interesting. I'm actually, in this game, I'm actually going to take the Dolphins to win +113.
Yeah, possible.
Dolphins to win outright. And I'm going to take over 42.
Mm-hmm.
The spread's -2.5 over under 42. Oh, next up, Steelers at Bengals.
Huge game, Ben.
Bengals at full strength. Steelers, Minka Fitzpatrick's coming back. TJ Watt might play.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hayden is out. So we've got half of our defensive players back.
Slowly coming back.
Najee Harris a little banged up. Roethlisberger coming off another one of his amazing comeback attempts. If the defense could have held strong, it would have been a comeback victory. I'm going to take the Steelers +3.5, and I'm going to take over 44 in this game.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers at +3.5 in this one. I think they're going to win the game. I just think they're going to win the game.
See, the Bengals favored by 3.5.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
But the Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals.
+163 for the Steelers. I think the Steelers win this one.
Yeah, I want that 3-point cushion. Because I want that 3-point, 3.5-point, well, essentially 4-point cushion in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Chargers at Broncos, Ronnie.
Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah.
To win the game outright, I'm going to take the Broncos at home because the Broncos are playing at home. The spread is -3 over is 47, over under 47.5. Anything on the line?
I mean, there's nothing interesting really here.
Broncos to win outright +132.
I wouldn't take that. I think the Chargers are going to win. So, I mean, -132. I mean, or -148. Like, what are you going to win?
I think the Broncos at home. Teddy B.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles beat them at home.
I know, but they're coming off the Chargers.
That's how I judge teams. If the Eagles can beat you, then another team can beat you as well.
All right. Fair enough. But I think the Broncos are going to win this game. Next up, Vikings at Niners.
I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. I'm going to take the Vikings at +154 in this one.
Man, recency bias with this guy. Like, whoever played well last week, that's
they're
going to
play again
about
this week, too. I promise you.
You think the Vikings are going to beat the Niners?
Yep.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'm trying to talk you out of it. Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings to win this game. No, I'm going to take the Niners to win this game.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking the Niners. The spread's -3 over under 49. I am going to take the Niners -3 and over 49 on a teaser. You like any of those lines other than the Vikings at +154?
That's it. +154 for the Vikings.
You really think the Vikings? Okay.
Of course. They're going to win this game. I'm telling you. Just like last week.
Just like whatever happened.
I told you.
Just like whatever happened yesterday.
Actually, I chose Green Bay in the last one.
No, it's funny. I used to teach history, but it was only from like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Like he's like, let's talk about what happened 3 months before today. And they're like, well, I want to learn about the Ottoman Empire. They're like, no.
That didn't exist.
Just last week. Coming from the guy who doesn't even know what coast Madagascar is on.
No,
I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't
know. Yeah.
I didn't know.
I was like, me?
I'm like lecturing someone about history, and I'm like, I can barely even tell you where the continents are.
Yeah, my history is pretty damn good. Okay, Mr. Civil War between the Scots and the Irish.
Well, there's still to this day a civil war between the Scots, the Welsh, the Irish, and the English, essentially. It's a cold civil war.
Yeah.
It's very cold.
Very, very
it's cold.
Cold.
But it's hostile. It's angry.
Yeah. On the soccer field.
On the soccer field. Next up, LA Rams at Packers.
You know, I'm going to choose the Packers in this one, plus 112 Packers.
Oh, good Lord. Really?
Yep. It's cold. It's cold on the
Green
Bay. Yeah,
they're playing at Packers. I'm going to take the Rams to win this game.
Oh, because the Rams are really good in cold weather.
They're not, but I just think Packers, Aaron Rodgers' toe's banged up.
It's going to be frozen, though.
It's almost.
He's going to have a frozen toe.
But it's almost sort of like.
So he's not going to feel any pain.
It's not do or die yet for the Rams, but it's getting close.
Yeah.
If they want to keep this season from completely coming off the rails. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the Rams. The spread's -1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Over, under 46.5. I'll take the over.
I'll take the under in this one, only because it's probably going to be pretty freaking cold in Green Bay.
I think it's going to take a lot of points to win this one. Next up, Browns at Ravens. Finally, a team where at least the team that loses will make me happy.
This is a tough one.
Is it really?
Wait, is Lamar Jackson playing?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to take the Browns at 149, plus 149 for the Browns.
You think the Browns are going to be a Lamar Jackson-led Ravens team?
Yeah.
Based on?
Commercials.
Commercials?
I haven't seen Lamar Jackson do a good commercial yet, damn it. Baker
He's
Mayfield.
He's too busy preparing for the game.
Yeah, well, Baker Mayfield put some good fucking commercials together.
That's right, and Lamar Jackson is preparing for the game.
Yeah.
And thus, I'm taking the Ravens to win this game. The spread is -3, over under 47. Yeah, I'll take the Ravens -3, and I'm going to take over 47.
Look at you being a Ravens fan.
I just think the Browns are essentially falling apart. They got a mediocre quarterback. Lamar Jackson's coming back.
Uh-huh.
They're playing at home. The running game is working. I just think the Ravens are going to roll over them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Next up, oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
Seattle Seahawks at
Washington football team.
Washington FTs.
You know, not much to bet on here.
It's a pick 'em.
It's pretty much a pick 'em. But as bad as the Seahawks have been, I would expect a win from the Washington football team and Taylor Heineken.
I'm gonna take.
You're looking to see if your wife is coming outside.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's all right. She's not coming outside, Ben. It's okay. You're good.
I'm gonna take the Washington football team to win.
I'm gonna tell her right now. I'm gonna tell her right now.
She would
expect it.
They just can't get out of their own way. They can't do anything right on offense or defense. Jamal Adams is probably the biggest bust that's come through there in terms of what they had to give up for him. You know, he can't cover. You know, if he's not blitzing, he's essentially useless. Yeah, I think the Washington football team's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pick 'em. I'll just take Washington -108.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I'm going to take the under 46.5.
I would probably take that too, yeah.
Because I just don't think. I just don't think either one of these teams can score points, and it's pretty scary how bad that the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson had that opportunity 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, you know, to get back to another Super Bowl to really cement some type of legacy,
mm-hmm.
and they've had some good seasons, but the wheels are essentially sort of coming off the bus, and I don't know if he's ever going to get back to that again.
Mm.
I mean, we'll see if he ends up in Pittsburgh next year, all of a sudden he'll be the best quarterback ever.
Of all time.
But right now it's ugly in Seattle. Finally, that's it for the week.
That is it.
12 picks. What's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board is Friday's Flame and Ben's Bust of the Week.
All right. This is where we tell you the thing that upset us the most in the previous week's game. Friday, what do you got?
Should we take a break first?
Oh, should we take a break?
Take a break.
You need another restroom break?
I do.
For the record, Frana has an IV of electrolytes, also a bottle of water, and a little bit of bourbon. So cut the guy a little slack.
Exactly.
We get IVs on the sideline, just like the players in this on this podcast. All right, hold tight. We'll be right back with Frana's Flame and Ben's Bust.
All right, and we are back with Fronny's Flamin' Ben's bust of the week.
And the Eagles won, so that can't be your bust.
It's not my bust.
Or
no,
your flame.
My
I'm sorry.
Flame. My flame is, why the fuck do we have the Lions on Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. I mean, the Lions have been terrible for so many years.
There is some why legitimate reason still... why it started.
Yeah, but why? I mean, they've never been good. I mean, very rarely are they a good team. And why are we
under
forced?
Caldwell, they made the playoffs twice. They
oh,
were,
wow.
They were
yes.
7-9,
they've been to multiple Super Bowls.
Eight.
They have multiple Super Bowl championships. Yes, they're a great organization.
Well, they don't have that.
Organization.
But very few teams have
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, they definitely
the
don't.
The Eagles only have one.
Yeah, but they've been to, you know, three Super Bowls.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been there. The Lions have never been there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, why are we subjected to the Lions on every
tradition.
Thanksgiving.
Tradition.
No, we should end that tradition right now.
But you're okay with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are, you know, they have a lot of fans, at least.
They have a lot of... I'm not going to say they're good.
Across,
I'm just going to say there's a lot of people that care about them.
Yeah, I mean, they all, they also
lot,
have...
There's a lot of people
have,
that...
They also have,
It's like Sex and the City.
They.
It sucks, but they have a lot of people that watch it.
No, but I'm saying, like, they have at least five championships. They did win in the Super Bowl multiple times. They've had multiple Super Bowl appearances. So, I mean, they have a large following
not
across
recently.
The country. But the Lions have nothing. And yet we're still subjected to the Lions year after year after year.
Well, for a while they had Barry Sanders.
Yeah, that was sort of fun to watch. But that was a long time ago. It's been 25 years. Or how many years has it? Probably
long
pretty
time.
Close to 25
time,
years since
time.
Barry Sanders has left the league. Was it 99 maybe? So pretty close to it. 22 years. But yeah, I don't know why the fuck the NFL has not changed it up just a little
tradition.
Bit and have some good teams play.
You know, tradition, like that's why they don't change the rules. That's why they don't change the schedule. That's why they don't increase games. That's why they don't add playoff teams.
They increase games. They do.
That's why because of tradition. They don't do any of these things.
Yeah, thanks. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you're right, Ben. Yeah, thanks. I'm stupid. Yeah,
that's, the NFL doesn't change anything.
That, yeah, those shots. Yeah. So why?
I think it's tradition.
I mean, a lot of fans out there like thinking like, why is my team who's playing really well right now or was expected to play well this season not playing on Thanksgiving so I can sit at home with the family and watch the game on my day off?
Yeah, the Buccaneers,
even
Cowboys.
The Steelers.
Steelers. We played on Thanksgiving a couple times, I think.
I mean, yeah, you have, but I mean, still, though.
But
I mean,
against Detroit or against the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Even the Raiders now that they're in Vegas, but every year, or I mean, because that's another team with a lot of fans that
the Niners, you know, they have a large fan base, also multiple
or New York team for the Giants in there,
you know, the Ravens.
I mean, I know they suck. No, not the Ravens. The Ravens don't deserve to
Why
play.
Not, Ben?
No, because
why do you say that?
Because they're
why
not
do you say
a,
this?
They're not a good team. And
but they're
only,
not a good team.
They're only good under John Harbaugh. They were bad before, and they'll be bad again.
They won before. They won a Super Bowl without John Harbaugh.
Who was the head coach when they won the first Super Bowl with?
I'm not sure if that warrants.
I don't think
I'm not
that,
sure if that warrants a
that. I don't think that
shot.
Warrants a punishment shot.
I don't know.
Who was it? Marcia Broda? Who was the head coach when they won with Trent Dilfer? Dilfer. Yeah. How good does your defense have to be to win with Trent Dilfer? It has to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like winning with Matt Hasselbeck.
That's my flame of the week, Ben. Like, why? Why do we, especially the Lions and the Bears, especially this year's Bears. Actually, the Bears haven't been that good for a long time, too.
I know, but at least put the Lions up against an opponent that other people want to watch.
You know, usually Thursday night games, you don't expect much. But Thursday day games, like on Thanksgiving, you expect them to be watchable.
The Patriots would be nice.
You know, Buffalo and the Saints.
I mean,
the Raiders and Cowboys. Raiders and Cowboys, I don't.
But Buffalo Saints should have been a good game.
Well,
I mean, going into the season, it should have been
with
a good game.
I mean, even with Winston, I'm not sure if that should have been a good game either.
But I think most everyone that was watching football expected that Sean Payton would not actually decide to play the season with Jameis Winston as his quarterback. But for some strange reason, he did, in fact, do that.
Yeah.
And he's learning the lesson as to that.
Hey, I mean, I'm sure they would have won a few extra games.
I always root for Detroit. I can't help myself.
No,
I would rather see Detroit versus the Cowboys and then another game.
Yeah. Actually, no. I wouldn't want to see that because the Cowboys would win that game, whereas they lost to the Raiders.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, Friday. Anything else to add for your flame?
That's my flame.
All right, Friday. My bust of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Yeah, but they were shorthanded.
Yeah. But you still have to play
to
better
win the game.
to win the game. They ran up and down the field on him. They passed up and down the field on him. I don't think the Chargers scored on their first five possessions. They didn't punt until damn near the fourth quarter or in the fourth quarter before they had their first punt for us to even attempt a block. You know, even on that play, the Steelers, the offense puts up 27 points in the fourth quarter. All you have to do is hold them, at least hold them to a field goal, get it to overtime where we could potentially win the toss and score a touchdown, or get a stop on defense and put up a field goal. But they couldn't do that. They were completely miscommunicated, if that's a verb. Miscommunication on defense on that final play. Cam Sutton out of position. Safety out of position. We don't, I mean, there wasn't even anyone covering, what's his name, who caught the 75-yard bomb for a touchdown. Cam Hayward put in a yeoman's effort in that game. The line did everything they could do. Even the linebackers that were in the game did everything they could do. The secondary just wasn't able to come through. Devin Bush was a no-show for most of the game. You know, everything the Steelers' offense was able to do to get them back in that game, and for them to cough it up. I know they had that big hold on fourth down. That was primarily the linebackers in the line, but the secondary in that game really shit the bed. I mean, that would have been an amazing win for the Steelers. Down big, everyone leaving the stadium. Announcers leaving, journalists leaving, podcasters leaving
I think there was one camera left.
Yeah, the Steelers were left for dead. They come roaring back, not just to tie the game, but to go up by three. And the defense on the very next possession, on the second or third play of that drive, gives up a 75-yard touchdown and puts the game out of reach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The defense, when you're shorthanded, that's when you have to step up. You saw what the Eagles were able to do in 2017-18 with all the injuries that they had on defense, you know, I know you don't like him, but what Schwartz was able to do to patch that defense together.
Well, I mean, actually, on the defensive line, it was that bad.
But the secondary really banged up.
Even if we had starters on the secondary, they'd be terrible in his offense.
But you see what's going on with the Chiefs right now. They're stumbling, bumbling, fumbling their way on offense, and the defense is stepping up. The offense came through. The defense just had to get a stop or two somewhere in that game, somewhere in the first three quarters of that game, to give the Steelers an opportunity to win. And the defense, you know, those are professional players. I know Minka was out. I know TJ Watt was out. I know Joe Hayden was out. I know, you know, Tyson Alualu was out, you know, most of the season, as well as, Stephon Tuitt. But there's no reason the defense shouldn't have been able to give them an opportunity at the end of that game. And that was what was really disappointing to me. Especially Devin Bush, someone who could have been a leader in his fourth year, looking to get his fifth year option picked up. Instead, he was Olaying guys left and right, incapable. I mean, he can move fast, but he can't tackle. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know where the ball is.
Actually, the tackling has been great for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, even with the starters, I mean,
we did have two first round picks out there on defense, mm-hmm. in the linebackers and on the line. But Devin Bush has got to do a better job. And that was his opportunity, I think, to get his fifth-year option picked up, was to play lights out in that game, mm-hmm. when Cam Hayward was doing the same. And another veteran in Devin Bush, with 4 years in the league, had an opportunity to do the same, and he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. That's my bust.
That's your bust. And, I mean,
No criticism of the offense.
It was a good game to watch. And like you said, they did allow a lot of points, and there was a lot of plays there that were crucial. To the point where the Steelers could have made a stop and possibly won the game.
The offense stepped up, special teams stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but I mean, you're pretty damn shorthanded, and you know, these guys
pretty
have
damn shorthanded.
These guys have 1 week to get prepared for the game, and I think they did a decent job. I mean, you know, the Chargers do have a lot of weapons on offense, and I would be proud of what the Steelers did show. You know, the entire game
on offense
and their willpower to come back in this game to score, 27 points in the fourth quarter, which is pretty damn fucking crazy.
Oh, the offense played amazing.
Yeah. We'll see what happens next game.
Special teams, they get a block punt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when the defense is fully healthy, will the offense still perform on that same level? We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Steelers did play well, you know, flying to the West Coast, and, you know, they lost a close one. In my opinion, it was a good game. It was a hard fought game for the Steelers.
I mean, it was for sure.
I mean, you expected them to lose this one.
I did. But yeah. I mean, we had the opportunity, and I just wanted.
Yeah, they were close.
A couple big plays from. I mean, Keith Butler. You know, he was able to coach those guys up during the week, and they should have been able to at least hold down that lead at the end. The only reason the Steelers had to score 27 is because the defense was getting shredded. I mean, they didn't punt until the fourth quarter, I think, the Chargers. And I just expected a little bit better out of the defense, but I'm not going to say anything about the special teams. Danny Smith's special teams played amazing. Tomlin did everything he could do to get that team and keep that team engaged in a game that they should had no business even attempting to get back in, because they should have just sort of taken their toys and gone home. Mm-hmm. But it would have given us an opportunity to be more in the mix in a division with the Browns and the Bengals and the Ravens.
Everybody's there. I mean,
they're all there, but the Ravens get a win. So fuck the Ravens, fuck the Browns.
Oh my God.
I know Friday wanted to do.
We're about to take a shot right now.
I know Friday wanted to do one more.
No, because we have our shot coming up.
Let's do small. Small one.
You forgot what the next.
Well, you were saying it wasn't a shot, so I had a feeling you wanted to do like at least a half of one.
I didn't want one. I'll take shit. I poured a little bit more. You know what? You're getting a big one. Fuck you, Ben.
That's plenty.
All right.
This is to Devin Bush.
Yeah. This is, a good game. It was a good game.
Yeah, to Devin Bush. Yeah,
and you should have been there.
And I know your father.
Should have been there, Ben.
Your father expects more of you.
It was here in L.A. and didn't go to the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. All right. So that's your bust.
That's my bust of the week.
The week, Ben.
Ronnie, what's next on my big board?
Next up, Ben, is our drinking portion of the show. We have our shot, we have our beverage, we have our beer. But first up, what a great segue that was for that to be your bust of the week. Whenever the Steelers win, we get a hot, spicy shot on the table. But they lost, so we get a nice sweet shot on the table, Ben. And it is, it's sort of a punishment because...
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
But also in honor of Thanksgiving weekend. I'm sure a lot of people are at home enjoying their weekend, doing their Black Friday shopping, whatever. I mean, I hate shopping in general, but good for you. Kudos. I don't like shopping in general. Ben, tonight's shot
I don't like shopping specifically either. Generally or specifically.
Yeah, I don't like shopping. I don't like it, whether it's on a Black Friday or any Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
I will not buy it at the store. I will not buy it.
From a whore.
From a whore. I will not buy it in my car. I will not buy it from a bar. I will not buy this package.
Yeah, that's... I don't like green eggs and ham. Or is that Sam-I-Am?
Sam-I-Am.
I don't like green eggs and ham. But anyways, tonight's shot, Ben, it's a pumpkin pie shot. And we've dubbed this shot the SoFi pumpkin pie. You lost that SoFi, and it's a nice sweet shot concocted.
Steelers need to own that stadium.
Fireball. You would love Fireball. Actually, Fireball is not terrible even
it's
on its
terrible.
Own.
It's just terrible also, the next day.
It is. We also have a little bit of Irish cream whiskey, a little bit of Kavanaugh Irish cream in there.
That's nice, especially around the holidays.
Vodka with the flavor of pumpkin pie. So pumpkin spice vodka, which is pretty interesting. Actually, you could buy vodka flavored with anything nowadays. I mean, you could buy prosciutto flavored vodka.
Yeah, the Russians are making a killing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to be used to be just straight vodka. Now they have a whole other...
There's a whole line.
They have three aisles of vodka and then three more aisles of flavored vodka.
Yes, Vasily. Do you want to impress your girlfriend tonight? Buy her this rosé vodka. It will knock her panties off.
It's a rosé, rose water flavored vodka.
It is delicious.
Also, we have rosemary.
Very high
rose
quality.
Petal?
It is 50 rubles.
I don't even know.
I don't even know how much
I don't even know what a ruble, what the exchange rate. Do they still use rubles? I suppose they do.
They don't use euros, that's for sure.
Well, no, they only sell their gas for euros that they keep as euros, but they give the people the rubles.
Exactly. But
that's how you run a country.
There's some spice in this one, though, Ben. Because
dollars
is,
for me, Bitcoin for you.
It does have Fireball, so it has a little bit of spice to it. I'm sure it'll be mostly sweet, but also it looks delicious.
All right, let's do this.
Cheers. And there's also whipped cream on top. That is a fucking good shot right there.
You got any ice cream to go
with
that?
That is a really good...
Wait, did you make this one up?
Yeah, I made this one up.
Did you write down the ingredients?
I mentioned them on the podcast just now.
But you should write... Well, I mean, I don't know if you're going to remember. This was... Wow.
This was probably one of the best shots we've ever had on the show.
If a bar concocted this, they would charge a lot of money for it. Mm.
Wow, that's good.
I mean, the spice, what gives it the spice? Maybe
the fireball.
Just a tiny bit. Not for me, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a tiny bit less fireball for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That is probably an 11.
That was as good as the pumpkin pie I had on Thursday, which is as good as any store-bought pumpkin pie you can get in California.
A little bit of maybe graham cracker on top. That would make it perfect. A little bit of cinnamon on there would make it perfect. But my rating on that would be an 11. That was a good fucking shot right there. Yeah. That was fucking delicious.
Fantastic.
And I said no spice for you, Ben. There was spice on the back of the throat on that one.
Yeah, that was.
Wow.
Wow. That was. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. That was pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was probably my best. That was probably the best shot ever on the podcast. Out of all the spicy ones, all the good spicy shots that we've had.
That pickle one might still be one of my favorites.
But no, this is seriously, because this one has sweet and a little, that little bit and a little bit of spice. Man. SoFi.
Sorry, I'll go crazy with the sound
effects. SoFi pumpkin pie.
That was fucking amazing.
That was pretty damn fucking good, especially on a cold night like this with a little bit of that little bit of fireball.
Ooh, we haven't
cinnamon
been taping.
Spice. Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I have to remember what the fuck I just said.
I was like, he's like, do I have to go make that shot again? No, that
I wouldn't
was,
mind making that shot again. That was a good shot.
Well, no, go through the our listeners. Seriously, this was one of the better shots we've ever had on the show.
Yeah,
I think my all-time favorite was the one that we took out of the pickle, maybe because I just love pickles and I love spice.
This is all.
But what were the ingredients again, just for the listeners?
It was
the amounts.
Fireball. I mean, it was equal. I mean, so it was one third, one third, one third. But you know, fireball. Any Irish cream you can find. I mean, it could be Kavanaugh, it could be Bailey's, same, whatever. Yeah. I mean, they all taste the same. And some pumpkin spiced vodka, and you kind of just mix it all together so it comes, you know, so like the Irish whiskey, you know, thickens it up just a little bit with a little bit of whipped cream on top. Not too much whipped cream because you don't want it too sweet, just a little bit of whipped cream. And there were some sprinkles on top there just to add some color. But damn, that was a good shot. And yeah, I thought of it on my own because I just think about the ingredients that we have in the house. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I remember that we have the pumpkin spice.
When did we get? Oh, we must have got it last year.
Yeah, it's probably been sitting there for a while because we never use it in any other shots. But this weekend, it's like ideal. And that was a good fucking shot.
Yeah, I mean, it tasted literally better than a store bought pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a little bit of the spice. I mean, like if you would just sort of put a little bit of
cinnamon
on the top of your pumpkin pie. I mean, that was as good.
Damn, that was good.
I mean, that's a dangerous shot. Sold those at a bar, you would definitely get sued for all of the accidents that happened on the way home from the bar.
I mean, it's easy to drink.
But that would be a big seller.
The vodka is 35%. Most of it was actually, I say one-third, one-third, one-third. I mean, I can't remember exactly. I think I poured more vodka than anything. Okay. So maybe not one-third, one-third, one-third. Maybe just a little bit of extra vodka in there. But, you know, it was 35%, not 40% like you usually get from vodka. But, you know, it didn't have any of the bite to it, you know, from the vodka that you usually get.
It had a little bit from the fireball, but it wasn't bite. It was more spice.
Yeah, honestly, I give that an 11 out of 10. That was a fucking good shot.
11 out of 10.
I give it that was a good shot.
That's a public school. That's a public school system for you right there. 11 out of 10.
Doesn't 11 become, it comes before 10, right?
Yeah, 11, yeah, yeah. 11 10, 12.
Yeah, yeah, typically. Yeah. That's what I thought.
That's how Derek Carr does it. That's why he doesn't play well every single week. That's sort of how he does math in his head.
I think he needs a haircut.
I
don't think his brain is breathing.
I like Derek. He's just not the smartest guy around. He's just not the sharpest tool, you know, in the shit, which is what makes Tom Brady so dangerous, is because he's physically, physically gifted at the position, and he's really, really smart.
Yeah, let's all pray for the man that murdered a woman. Yes. Let's do that. Who the fuck says that, dude?
A guy who knows what to say to keep his job and not offend anyone.
Yeah, well, he offended a lot of people, I'm sure, with that one. Let's pray for this guy. What about the family of the victim? Whatever. Anyways, it's you know, that was a good show.
Well, he prays for him, too. I mean, he prays a lot.
When
he's not looking at the playbook,
he's praying.
He's praying for victims, perpetrators, He has a long list.
I thought that was one of his, that was a dumb comment to make.
Yeah, he should have just said, you know, no comment, yeah. Team, you know, obviously very sad for the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't even know what I would say, but I would have probably said really not much.
Yeah.
Because what can you really say in a situation like that yeah. adds to it? Nothing. Mm-hmm. No. So the less you say, the better in that situation. No.
Yeah. Well, he was smart enough to say that. But,
well, that's what I mean. He's yeah. not exactly the but sharpest. But
that
was a good
shot. Where do you rate that shot, Ben? Where would you rate that shot?
10?
10. So I'm at an 11.
Oh, yeah. That's a 10. That's a 10. Oh, and there's Sonya. Yeah, Rosie, one of our dogs, knew you were coming out. She already went in the house. Like, somehow she sensed that you were, like, she literally went bolting by at about 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, we just had the shot, Sonya.
Delicious. 10 out of 10.
I actually gave Sonya some of the shot because I was like, this is a good fucking shot.
It was good.
And she says it's good.
Yeah, the two people that hate pumpkin pie love the pumpkin pie
yeah,
shot.
Yeah.
Irony.
Yeah, yeah.
So five pumpkin pie.
I like it. Yep.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah, that was right. I mean,
that was
outside of all the spicy, the pickle shot and the spicy shot that we had, that was probably my all time favorite. I'll never always rank a spicy shot number one. Can't remember which one it was that had the Cholula, it had the tahine. It was sort of like a, I almost feel like it had grapefruit juice in it or something, but that one.
Maybe some mango.
And the pickle one. Maybe the mango one. But the pickle one, obviously, that was awesome.
Yeah,
this one was
all the flavors came together like almost perfectly in this
yeah,
one.
That was about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I think you should write down the ingredients one third, one third, one third mm-hmm. with the graham cracker and whatever on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you should probably write that down, send it to the trademark office or the copyright office.
Send it to, what's his face?
Tipsy Bartender?
Tipsy Bartender.
You're going to search Tipsy Bartender. He's going to be like, one third pumpkin vodka, one third. He's going to be.
Yeah, man.
He's going to be like, oh, I already made that one.
That's
yeah.
That's a delicious one right there.
I make it with 151, though.
But it's funny because he doesn't drink his shots. He puts the shots together and he has some hot girl like drink the shot. Like, where do I sign up for this job? Like, what?
Well, I don't think he would be able to keep his job.
Yeah, maybe I need a Caribbean accent. Yeah. Like,
or at least like a Eastern European.
Hey,
you can
do
a Croatian accent.
How are you doing over there?
Yeah, I think a Croatian accent.
Oh, come on. Come on over here.
No, you'll get canceled pretty
yeah,
fast.
No, that's true.
You should probably do
it. Hey, what if I was born in the Caribbean?
You do like a South African accent.
I can't do that. I'm not good at those. I'm not good at that. I mean, the South African accent is I like that accent.
New Zealand
nice.
Mixed with something.
Yeah, yeah.
But
South,
yeah,
South
yeah
African,
if you do Caribbean South accent African. Without actually being from there, yeah. that might be a tough one to pull off.
And you need a little bit of the fireball
for a mass audience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I could work with him. We'll work together.
No, but he knows.
We'll collaborate. Collaborate on this one.
Fuck, that was good.
That was a good one.
That was
11 for me.
I don't even know what to say.
That was a good one. That's a good fucking shot.
Yeah, that was as good
for anybody
as
out there. Mix some fireball with some Irish cream with some pumpkin spice vodka, and you are golden.
Yes, and we're not going to copyright. We're not Pat Riley up in here with the three-peat. Nah. We're not going to copyright.
I don't think you can copyright a shot. I don't think that's possible.
Actually, yeah, of course you can.
I don't think you can.
Yes, you can.
We can copyright the name.
You could copyright. You definitely could copyright a shot. And the name. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to copyright a shot. I'm just trying to think. I mean, I am a lawyer. I'm trying to think of like the intellectual property, why you wouldn't be able. I mean, you could just tweak it a little bit and change it, and you wouldn't be.
That was good.
I don't know. It wouldn't be copyright, but it'd be like intellectual property. I don't even know what it would be.
Yeah, I'm on.
But that's not my area of the law, man. What is the next? That's not the law that I know. It's like being a doctor. It's like having a brain surgeon in the family. It's like, my appendix hurts. You know, like this area, like my kidney. Can you help me out there? They don't know.
Yeah. No.
They don't know. I don't know about intellectual property, so I should shut up. All right, Friday, what's next up on the big board?
Next up, Ben, we have our beverage of the week, something we don't have very often on the show, and I don't know why, because I like my cognacs, and tonight we have
I don't love them, that's why.
We have the Brastad. Bruh. It's spelled Brastad.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think
they. You don't think they're saying that?
I think in
that
France.
That way in France. Brastad.
Let's get a little French. We got a little
Brastad
French.
Brastad cognac. Oh yeah.
We gotta get a little French cafe right music here.
That puts me right in the mood for this. It's like cognac peanuts. Right here. But I've always loved the cognac.
I feel
cognacs.
Like Charlie Brown's going to come right now.
I know. I've always loved the cognacs on the show. And, I mean, this one, I mean, it's not, it's around $40 or something. It's a VSOP. It's not an XO or anything. It's nothing too
what
fancy.
What does the XO stand for?
Extra old.
Extra old. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically what you call yourself.
Yeah, well, I am. But what is
I'm a VSOP.
What's VSOP? Very
it's
special?
It's very special. I forget what the OP stands for.
That's why I don't like
old.
That's why I don't like cognacs, because they all, even yeah. the lower levels, think they're special.
They're very special.
It's a very 2020-21.
Everybody's very special.
Everybody gets a medal. It's like,
you win.
Here's our two,
and you win. You
here's our two-year-old cognac. It's very special.
Special. No, but it's the Brastad cognac, Ben. I mean, the bottle is beautiful. The bottle itself is a squared off bottle. I mean, the packaging is very nice, about $40. It has a high rating at Total Wine as well. I'm sure you have some information for us.
I do. This is the Brastad VSOP Reserve. This exquisite VSOP is blended from specially selected cognacs, mainly from the Finbos region of France. A very high
France?
Average...
Not France.
France.
France, okay.
A very high average maturity age of the Eau de Vie included in the blend gives this exquisite VSOP an opulent harmonic flavor. That's interesting. Okay. A very high average maturing age of the Eau de Vie included in the blend gives this an exquisite VSOP an opulent harmonic flavor. Brastad VSOP Reserve received the gold medal in 2003, 2005, and 2007 for best VSOP cognac at the International Wine Competition of London, rewarded for its excellent quality and finesse of its taste. Interesting. Okay. And they have a nice website here, Franny.
Yeah. Classy.
Let's see.
Ball is classy.
And they have they have some other ones here. They got a select blend.
Organic.
Ooh, organic. They got a fine XO, fine champagne cognac. They have a contemporary art cognac. Look at these bottles.
They're beautiful.
Oh, they have the XO Superior.
That is a nice bottle.
15 to 25 years aged.
Wow, that's expensive.
All right, that's a Friday Christmas present right there.
Yeah, that's expensive.
But you can't even get this in Los Angeles.
Probably not.
Even yeah, when I go to Total Wine.
I did not see that there.
Like the most expensive cognac I see is like $150.
That's a nice one right there.
And they have the Chateau de Triaux single vineyard. They have my selection, whatever the hell that means, probably from the owner. And the extra. Oh, wow. The average aging of Brastad Extra is 60
years.
Damn.
Long time.
And then they have a cream liqueur. But where would you find a cognac that's actually 20, 25 years? They don't even have them at Total Wine. And they have everything at Total Wine.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
Cognacs, they have this one lock case.
Yeah, yeah.
And it only has...
Nothing fancy.
It only doesn't really have a very large variety.
It's not really fancy, no.
And I wonder, A, why? And B, where the hell would you get, an XO fine champagne cognac?
I guess we don't make enough money to get a 60-year-old
Well, but they have... Cognac. I mean, they have scotches in there for... $3,000.
They do, yeah. But who knows how much a 60-year-old cognac would be.
But this, the XO Superior, 15 to 25 years. This is probably... It's probably $220, $230.
I'd expect to be a little bit more than that.
I bet you it's around... Because you can only charge so much. I bet it's $230, $240, somewhere in there.
I would expect to be a little bit more than that.
All right.
But, I mean, it's a beautiful-looking bottle. I mean, the packaging is... I mean, it's very classy-looking. Trying to turn off the Charlie Brown
music.
I want
to see Brastad XO cognac. I want to see. Oh, there it is. 131.
Oh, okay. No. Is that the one that's aged 60 years? No.
No. This is the 25
year. Okay.
But I bet the 25 year. Yeah. See. Well, actually, I underrated it. It's only
not too bad. I mean, not a terrible
15 to 25, 131
price. Yeah. No.
I think Santa might bring you that. If I can find. If I could find it.
No, since apparently... You do not have to worry about that, Ben.
Since apparently Total Wine is quite the snob when it comes to cognac.
You got your glass.
Oh, we didn't even taste it yet.
No, no, we haven't tasted it yet. We have to see if it's worth the price.
Yeah, no more shots.
It smells nice in the nose.
Smells like raisins.
See, I'm not getting the raisins. I'm getting a lot of sweetness.
Sweetness, a little leather.
Yeah, a little bit of woodiness.
I mean,
as well.
I definitely get the grapes. I mean, definitely grapes and a little bit of like a whiskey bourbon.
Stone fruit.
A little whiskey.
I mean, the stone fruit.
A little whiskey bourbon notes in there somewhere.
Cinnamony notes in there as well. I mean, the nose is really nice, though. I don't know why you don't like cognacs, man.
But primarily, I get like a fruit, a raisin,
it's not overly sweet,
and a
though,
grape.
But it's not overly sweet.
I don't get much burn.
Not at all.
But I do get a deep sweetness. Like a really deep sweetness.
And the color is beautiful. I mean, the color is like...
Yeah, it's a beautiful nice copper. Deep copper.
Smells delicious, Ben. Let's give this a shot.
I feel like we're in France. We have the... What do you call these lights?
I almost...
What do you call these
lights?
Forgot
that I was in L.A.
What do you call these lights again? They're like...
String?
It's a name for the... Like the... Patio, like not patio lights.
String, patio string.
Not string. String? Is it string?
String.
Can I say string again?
String.
There's
what
cafe,
is
cafe lights?
What is string?
They're cafe lights.
I would have got points from Aaron Rodgers on that one.
No.
On Jeopardy.
Only someone that stupid can be that arrogant to think that he can actually host Jeopardy.
He's not stupid.
He's not stupid, but he ain't Jeopardy smart. He's football smart. There's a difference.
That's all he has to be.
Exactly. But don't pretend you're like actual people smart. You're football smart.
All right, let's give this a shot. See how it tastes.
Man, ooh, very smooth.
That is really smooth and creamy.
Very deep, creamy.
Silky, smooth.
And very creamy. Sweet. Wow, very sweet.
I want to say very sweet. It has a
little
nice
tiny
sweetness
harshness
to it.
At the end, though. A little nice
not
tang
much,
at the end.
Not much. I mean,
but a nice, cinnamon.
Just a little bit of a pinch right there at the back of the throat. But that is extremely smooth. Oh, my God. This is going home
but
with
nice
me.
But nice and thick and creamy.
You know this is going home with me, right? This is going home with me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever you do, don't take the cognac with you. Oh, God, no. Please. Whatever you do.
I've probably taken all the cognacs home with me. I even took the Armagnac home with me. That is. I like it, man. That is very smooth.
I'm taking this with me, right? This thing that you don't like. No, I actually don't mind this one. It's a little too sweet, but...
It does have a little bit of raisin.
You don't say.
To it. But also that stone fruit, a little bit of apricot as well.
It's got nice legs, nice creaminess, nice finish,
nice
deep, rich flavor. I mean, it does. It has a nice, deep, rich flavor. I get a little raisin. I also get a little like apricot or plum, a little leather, a little cigar, a little bit of bourbon or whiskey.
There's just something. There's like a little bit of that woodiness in there.
But I do like
well.
The nice warm pinch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does give you a nice warm winter pinch on the finish.
But it's like the creaminess. There's like a nice bit of creaminess, silkiness to it. I mean, it's. It's
silkiness.
So easy to drink.
Silkiness.
I mean, it's so easy to drink. It's fucking amazing. Like it's like it just goes down so easily. You can just drink it out of the bottle. I like this one. This is a really good cognac.
I mean, it just lacks.
Also, the presentation is nice.
It lacks a little bit on the initial palate.
It's a little soft.
A little bit.
A little soft.
But it follows up nicely.
A little bit of kick on the front, followed up in the back as well. So, yeah, like you said, it's kind of soft, but then it really kind of hits you with some of the flavors.
Yeah, but I really like that warmth that it gives you at the end with a little bit of a pinch, a little bit of a spice at the end.
Where'd you rate this, though, Ben, on our Thirst and Gold rating scale of beverages? I mean, you're not a big cognac fan, but where'd you rate it?
Wee. I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, wow. I'll give it a 9. That's good. I mean, I could really enjoy this. Just sitting out, you know, maybe after a
while. Have I ever given a cognac anything higher than a 7?
I don't know why you don't, but I mean, just sitting out after a long day of work, something smooth that you want to sip down and enjoy. I could see myself sitting out with a Glencairn glass with this stuff.
Yeah, that to me, that's a Dalmore.
Yeah. Well, this
that's
is cheaper.
A Dalmore.
This is cheaper than Dalmore.
What was the Dalmore that I brought up? It wasn't the 12, was it? It was the.
I remember, it was a really good one.
It was like an 8. But it was like a 16 or an 18.
I don't know. It was a really good one, but I mean,
but a sherry. Is, yeah, like that.
But
to me, that's
also much cheaper.
Well, that was.
It's about half the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, that's like the sipper, cold weather cigar.
It's good.
But I mean, 7 for me for a cognac is good.
Yeah, I know. I think you just. I don't know.
It's grapes.
You just don't.
I can't get past the grapes.
So scotch is way better?
The ingredients, I think, are more appropriate. I don't think you can
why?
I don't think you can get us like a real deep, rich whiskey, bourbon, scotch flavor from a grape.
This is good.
But you can get it from like, you know, from corn, from barley.
Yeah, that is like the fruit of choice right there.
Well, I mean,
or vegetable of choice,
well,
corn.
Well, even gin. I mean, gin, you know, it has its upper limit because of how it's made. It can only be so good.
No, I think this is a really good cognac.
And I like
yeah.
7. 7 is, it's 5 is average.
It is.
5 is average, so 7 is not bad. It's a pretty high score for me.
All right.
Well, you got me into the scotches. If you keep coming back with the cognacs, maybe eventually I'll be like
episode
all in on the cognacs.
367, and we have our 8th cognac on the show, and Ben is still a hater just because they're cognacs. Just because it's a spirit aged in barrels.
But I'm open.
Just like everything else.
But I'm open to the idea that you may turn me just like you turned me on the scotches.
Yeah,
because I started out with the bourbons and the ryes, and then you turned me onto the scotches. Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we don't try enough of them for you to, you know.
These are good. These are good. Like, this one's good.
The scotches, you just bombarded me, like carpet bombed me with scotches. So it worked. I was drinking our Ardbeg when we were in Europe, and it just...
Yeah,
it really took
90-degree weather with like 100% humidity. Yeah,
it really
that's
took.
That's the perfect weather.
But because we only try a cognac like once every few months.
Yeah. Okay, I will bombard you with more cognacs and see if you enjoy them.
And before you know it, I'll be drinking cognac all the time. All right, Friday, you are at a 9. I am at a 7. What's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our beer of the week. From 10 Barrel Brewing Company, it's the Crush Cucumber Sour. And we'll go ahead and pour that into a glass. I'll put it on the cooler right now. We'll take some photos and we'll give it a shot.
All right. We'll be right back with the beer of the week.
All right. And we are back with our beer of the week, Ben, from 10 Barrel Brewing Company. It's a Crush Cucumber Sour from Oregon, right?
Yeah, from Bend, right. Oregon, a West Coast Pacific Northwest beer. Yes, Franny picked this one up.
Ooh,
the beautiful. I mean, it's a plain label.
Yeah, it looks very generic.
Aldi type label. It's a crushable sour, and it pairs well.
Aldi sucks, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. This beer should be better than Aldi. The ABV is 5%. The IBUs are 4. No bitterness at all. The flavor profile is a sour base with a cucumber finish. It's won a lot of awards. 2019 San Diego International Gold. 2019 silver medal at North American Beer Awards. And bronze, gold, bronze, silver, bronze, gold, silver. Dating back to 2013. This is the Brewer's Notes. Our Bend R&D brewer, Tonya, created this award-winning masterpiece by specially formulating a kettle sour to complement the easy drinking qualities of cucumber. Cucumber Crush might sound like a strange flavor for a beer, but trust them, it is the most refreshing and crushable sour that anyone could ask for. Still don't believe them? Well, as it happens, Cucumber Crush is by far their most award-winning beer. No big deal, but this one has taken home multiple medals from the GABF. including a gold in 2014. They've got pictures of people drinking the beer. They've got pictures of people at the beach wakeboarding and paddleboarding with the beer.
Because that's exactly what we want to do, is wakeboard with beer. Like, when you want to get drunk and wakeboard.
Yeah.
That's like the number one thing.
Yeah,
you
number
do.
One. Yeah, especially yeah. if they're sharks, yeah. that's even better.
No, just in general, driving at high speeds on the back of a boat with almost nothing under you.
Yeah.
Wakeboarding is
the
perfect thing to
do.
When you're drunk.
But yeah, I mean, this has got, it has a lot of medals. 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. There are golds, silvers, and bronzes all mixed in there. Franny, what made you pick this particular beer from 10 Barrel Brewing up in Bend, Oregon?
You know, as simple as the packaging is, it's kind of eye-catching. It looks generic, but it looks kind of modern at the same time. So it's very pleasing on the eye, Ben.
Oh, it's a pleasing.
It's very pleasing.
It's a pleasing on my palate and my eye.
It is. But I mean, we haven't had a sour on the show in a while. I mean, it is kind of cold outside. So I mean, maybe sours aren't ideal for this type of weather. I mean, during the day, yeah, I mean, it's about 80 degrees. But right now, it's in the 50s. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, 50. It says 54, but yeah. I usually take about 4 degrees off on the low side and add 4 degrees on the high side from whatever
so
my
it's
computer
54.
Says.
So it's minus. You take 4 away from 54, and you add another 4 to it, so pretty much the same temperature, yeah.
But like when it says it's going to be 79, I know it's going to be about 85. When it says it's going to be 54, I know it's going to be about 49, 40, or 50.
I still think it's probably – I think you've softened up since you left the East Coast.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
but it's not 54 right
now.
I can see my breath.
No, you can't. I didn't see your breath.
Oh, I can see it. I can see
it. Those are your cataracts.
That's true. That's my presbyopia.
No, but I mean, that's why I picked it up. We haven't had a sour beer on the show for quite some time. I just wanted to pick up something sour and see how it tastes.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, the labeling is super cool. It's green, it's white, it's
like
green and white.
A cucumber.
That's it. But the bottles or the cans are really, really understated, but nonetheless
eye catching.
Very modern and minimalist.
Yeah. Yeah. Very
minimalist.
So.
Minimalist.
Yeah. Well, give it a sniff, Ben. Cheers to you.
Give it a sniff. No bitterness in this one.
Oh man. It's really cucumbery.
Ooh, smells like a cucumber.
It's like a sweet cucumber. That's actually kind of nice.
Ah, it's like the anti-cognac, this one.
Oh my God. That's like something you wouldn't expect from a beer. It smells like a lotion that you put on almost.
Wow. Bed Bath.
Way more.
Bed Bath & Beyond
know,
is making
right?
beer now.
Right? It's almost like a candle. You could burn this and it would smell really great.
But it's got a nice little saltiness to the
cucumber. A little bit.
Well, let's give it a taste.
Cheers to you, Ben. I mean, there was actually a lot ahead when I poured it in. There was a lot ahead. I mean, the nice golden color to it.
Ooh, that's nice.
That is actually really good.
That is nice.
Oh my God. It's like sweet and sour.
That is nice.
I mean, obviously it's a little bit cooler outside, but on a hot summer day, this is really refreshing. There's a little bit of tartness on the finish.
A little tart, but also a little bit of that sort of.
There's that sweetness on the beginning. There's that cucumbery refreshness.
Yeah.
And there's a nice bit of carbonation too. It's like a nice thick carbonation. This is way better than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a, like you said, it's got a nice sour on the palate. It's got a beautiful freshness of the cucumber on the mid palate. And then as you finish, it has a nice sort of crisp, finish.
This definitely has
without
crispness.
A lot of aftertaste.
A lot of crispness. And it keeps you coming back for more, too. Yeah. Like you said, it's like, the taste dissipates and you want to come back for more. I mean, that's an interesting beer. That's a really
interesting
beer.
I see why
beer.
It's won a lot of awards.
Yeah.
Because like, a lot of beers overpromise and underperform. Mm-hmm. This one,
it promises what it has.
It promises. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really overpromise, but it really gives you what it claims to present.
Mm-hmm. That's a good beer. I'm surprised.
It's got a nice, light sort of amber color.
Yeah.
Gold, actually, is Friday.
I mean, the can itself is appropriate for the flavor. I mean, it's
yeah. Where's
like
the rest
subdued.
Of it?
There you are, right there, Ben. Reaching around your mic on both sides, trying to grab it like a baby looking for the pacifier.
This is good.
It is good. I mean, look how much head there is. Look at the head. Look at the head on that beer.
I mean, this is like walking in some city in the summer.
any city in the world in the summer on vacation in hot weather where it's, you know, more humidity than you'd expect there to be.
Yeah, like if you're from Belgium and you're vacationing in Los Angeles, if you're from Los Angeles and you're vacationing in Prague and it's the summer.
The two.
And it's
Belgium's a country, but whatever.
You're vacationing in the Czech Republic and you're. Yes, because everyone goes to other cities in the Czech Republic. Hey, I'm sure there are other cities, but I don't know that anyone
anybody wants to see any other part of the Czech Republic. We just lost everybody in the Czech Republic right now. This motherfucker does not care where I am from. Who cares that I'm from?
You think anyone cares? Do they care in Europe other than Los Angeles, New York,
San Francisco? Miami.
That's pretty much it, right? They're not pining for Indiana, are they?
I mean, there's some people they might like Indianapolis. I'm not sure.
They're like somebody from Prague. I can't wait to go to Akron.
Jan, I cannot wait to go to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. And after that, we're going to go to Cleveland. Cincinnati, and if we're lucky, we're
going to the whole AFC, AFC North.
And if we're lucky, we're going to go to Tulsa. If only we could, you know.
Hey, I'm sure Tulsa, Oklahoma is nice, okay?
I'm sure.
Don't lose our listeners in Tulsa now, too, okay?
And Tucson.
It's probably just better if we stop with that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But either way, it's warm weather. I was trying to be international, and I failed miserably.
If you go to any city in the globe, anywhere on the face of the earth, in this universe, doesn't matter where.
But this is like
any moon in Jupiter.
But you know what I mean. Like if you're walking for a long time and you're a little sweaty, it's warm outside. Uh-huh. You sit down. You're like, let's get a beer and a cappuccino and let's move on.
Let's get some.
This is the one you want.
No, it's a really good beer. I mean, it is honestly a really delicious, tasty, refreshing, sour, bitter-ishness to it on the finish. But I mean, it's like. It really keeps you coming back for more. I mean, it's like you take a sip, and like you said, the flavor sort of dissipates, but then you want more of it. I mean, we talk about Christmas, Ben. This has Christmas.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was walking up the hill in Zagreb towards where all of the dining establishments are. This is what I would be drinking.
No, that's a good beer. That's a good one. Where'd you write this, Ben? I would want a little bit more Christmas. This one has it.
I would give it a 9.
Yeah. I would give it a... let me take another sip. Where's my glass? Right there. There it is.
I think it's in Tulsa.
You know, I'd give this a 10. I mean, this is... It's just so
10
different.
10 is a tough one.
No, but I mean, like,
the Pliny for President was a 10.
I mean, it says cucumber sour, but like you said... What they're advertising is 100% true. It is, you get that cucumber flavor with that sourness, and on a hot summer day, this would be fucking perfect. I mean, it's 5% alcohol. It's
a pretty
decent
average.
Decent amount for a beer. Like you said, it's very average for a beer, but like you don't get like that beeriness to it.
You also don't get too much sour. Like it's not overwhelming.
It's just that nice.
Because we had some sours that were like,
oh yeah, they were bitter, sour,
like
tangy.
Really saliva creating sours.
Like this one has just the right amount. This is a really good sour that you could drink at any time. I mean, there's still a bit of beeriness to it too. I mean, it has that little beeriness to it, so you don't forget that it is a beer and not just like what is it, Trulia? What are they called? Trulia? White Claw or whatever they are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it's not like that. I mean, it doesn't like hit you in the
Zima
face.
Zima 2.0.
Like, yeah. This is actually a nice, solid, sour beer with a nice bit of refreshment to it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Don't you have a friend that really likes sours?
Yeah. I'll have to introduce her to this.
Yeah, you should. I mean, we have a... Take a couple with you. Give it... I mean, she...
Actually, yeah, I'll probably take one and... see.
She was nice enough
time.
To donate a couple to the show.
See,
at
next
one point.
Time we work together. And
but
I'll,
this is
that's a good one.
This is a really nice. Yeah. I mean, it's nice.
It's nice.
All right, Eagles going to win tomorrow. Steelers going to win tomorrow.
Hopefully.
No, can't you be positive?
Hopefully.
For once?
Hopefully I can be, yeah.
Hopefully. At one point, I hope that I will be able to be positive.
When it's 30 to 10 with 3 minutes left in the game, I will be positive.
Yeah, you weren't happy until, what was it, until...
3 minutes left.
Was it Chris Long or was it Bradham? Who was it that caused the fumble on Tom Brady?
No, even then.
But who was it that caused the fumble?
Brandon Graham caused Brandon it Graham. And Derek Barnett picked it up. But, I mean, it's like, even at that point in the game, like, Brady still has a chance to, like, drive down the field and score a touchdown and go for a two-point conversion.
But he didn't.
No, but he didn't. No, no, no.
And there you go.
At zeros, I was, like, happy. The
level's pretty high.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, Steeler fans, we tend to be...
One of the happiest
generally
days,
optimistic.
One of the happiest days of my life, February 4th, 2018. It was. That's like.
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a Laker fan, so, you know, routinely you win championships. Yeah. I mean, not recently. You got the COVID championship. That doesn't really count.
Yeah, it does. But, on the history books, it counts.
It counts.
That's our 17th championship.
That's like the Spurs in 1998. Yeah, whatever. You got the championship. Yeah. You beat the Knicks. Good for you. But it wasn't a real championship.
Yeah, no, they're not real. The history books don't really like, you know what? We're going to ignore this portion of history.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't.
But it was a genuine championship. It wasn't like... You know, like, it wasn't the Olympics for, you know, like, 20 countries boycotted and you got, like, 10 gold medals.
Like 1980 Moscow?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
It was a full season, a normal season.
Yeah, well, hey, they still won a championship and it will be there in the history books, Ben. It's another trophy, another banner lifted in Staples.
It's probably
or
the only
cryptocurrency, whatever, you know, the bucket it's called now.
The only statue of Nick Foles that will ever be erected.
Yeah.
Anywhere on the planet, including his parents' house, is in Philadelphia. Isn't there a statue of him and Doug Peterson there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, Philadelphia. They like their statues in Philadelphia. You got Rocky and you got Nick Foles.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. A fictional character and another fictional character. I mean, you got to admit, it was almost like a superhero.
Yeah, he is. He is super Foles.
I mean, in that playoff run, he was almost like a superhero.
Yeah.
All right, Frontier. I have bored you to tears.
You want to extend this podcast way beyond where it should be.
All right, Frontier, what's next up on the big board?
Housekeeping to finish the show, Ben.
All right, everyone, let's talk about the 1998 Knicks. Losing to the San Antonio Spurs. We are a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Please head to our website at thirstogold.buzzsprout.com. From there, you can subscribe and listen to all of our past episodes. You can get the show notes and get links to all the stories that we cover, all the games that we cover, all the Browns, the cognacs, the bourbons, the ryes, the scotches that we review. You get links to all the beers that we review as well. You got links to all the podcatchers in the universe where you can download and subscribe to our show. You can leave us a review. How many stars, Ronnie?
5 stars, Ben.
Just crush that 5 star. Just take that indestructible Apple iPhone and just pound your elbow on the 5 star button.
Like your Samsung.
Yeah. Not like my Samsung that died today.
And you talk shit about Apples all the time.
Yeah, you know, we
I don't know why.
We're both addicted to something.
I'm not addicted to it. I just know the quality.
The quality. I'm not addicted to it. Just what you like is just sucks balls. I mean, I can't help that.
I'm not silly.
I'm not silly. I have the Apple. I'm not an idiot. You can email us at podcastthirstygoal@gmail.com.
Honda Civic.
Nobody wants a Chevy Cruze. No.
I think that's what the Samsung. Although my Samsung,
it's not
my
a
Samsung
Chevy.
Samsung washer and dryer came today, and I hope it's nothing like
it's not a Chevy Cruze. It's not a Chevy Cruze. The Chevy Cruze is probably more like a. I don't even know if there's a bad cell phone, but don't put us in the Chevy Cruze
Google
category.
Pixel. It's a Google Pixel.
It's not a Ford Escort. You can follow us on Twitter at Goal Thirst and on Instagram at Thirst. And check out all of Franny's amazing award-winning photography. Please come back next week. We truly appreciate it. Franny, anything else to add before we finish up the show?
Nothing else to add, Ben, except thank you so very much, everybody out there, for listening to us.
And we'll see you next week.
Happy